about. You gotta put it in perspective.
I can't tell when I'm talking or when I'm not talking.
You're talking.
Am I?
Yes.
I'm talking?
Yes.
Your mouth is moving.
What?
I'm gonna stab you by the end of the night.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
With the exception of the late, great Abraham Lincoln, I can be more presidential than any president that's ever held this office. That I can tell you.
And that's satire. Right? And that's irony. And that's coincidence. It's a metaphor.
On Father's Day, Mike Segura, dad of three, spent the day banging.
And now.
This is the real deal. This is why you are here. This isn't a fire drill. It's the fire festival. And a full-on fucking disaster.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday morning, the 19th of June.
What's up, Lanyaps?
What?
Don't know that word?
Ooh, Lanyaps is a good word.
Is it?
We see it a lot in Louisiana. It's a French Louisiana word.
Okay.
Lanyap.
And it means?
And it gets used a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a, how do I describe it? It's like a like bonus. Like if you go to, you know, a baker's dozen of donuts?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
That 13th donut is a Lanyap. It's an extra. It's a bonus. It's a little something more and better than you expected.
Thank you, Mr. Know-It-All.
It's a good word.
Okay.
Could have sworn you said lanyards.
Same. No, Lanyap.
Lanyap.
Lanyap, yeah.
You should also try to use words that other people have heard.
Or at least regionally on the radio station in which you are on.
Correct.
I'm telling you, this is a useful word that I see all the time that I think needs a wider audience.
Yeah, that's great. Until our audience catches a plane to New Orleans, they're not going to know that word.
One of my favorite words is used in England, and it's what you're being right now, a bellend.
Oh, say again?
A bellend.
A bellend. See, now I don't know that word.
Yeah.
I love learning new words. What's a bellend?
It's like how the tip of your man part is looks like a bell end.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it's like
I'm going to just keep it a bean.
Yeah. Okay. You're just being a dick.
Okay.
Yeah. But you're also being pretty lanyap, pretty extra.
I'm very lanyappy.
You're yanlapping it up, I'd say.
I think you're being a lanyard. So.
Again, I think you heard lanyard because you know the word lanyard, but I did say lanyard.
Mm, we'll play it back later.
Please do.
It is spelled not like I thought it would be spelled.
No, it's L-A-G, hold on, L-A-G-N-I-A-P-P-E?
Yes,
Bean.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, impressive.
It's a legit word, you guys.
No,
it
is.
It up.
I looked it up because I thought you were lying.
No, it's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Two pieces of news to get started with. Neither are great. I'm going to be honest. I don't mean to.
So Bean rolls right here.
Mm-hmm. Well, I should say that Taco Bell, a fine sponsor of the world famous K-Rock.
Yep.
Okay, is a phenomenal.
Nope. Being told
restaurant.
Nope.
Mm-mm. Oh, well, it doesn't matter.
You can say whatever you want.
We only take money from very good places like Del Taco.
Oh, we love Del Taco. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well. I don't have any problem with Taco Bell. I think they're a national treasure. Forgive me. I think they're an international treasure. I don't eat there. I haven't eaten there in years. But
I eat there a lot.
I thought you did.
Yeah.
I thought this was your place. Yeah. Now, are you familiar with the Meximelt?
Yes.
The Meximelt apparently has just been discontinued by Taco Bell, I'm being told.
Oh,
and
no.
There's a friend of mine last night online, devastated, trying to start a Save the Meximelt campaign. Here's what he said. Always stayed true to itself. Wasn't trying to win you over by wrapping itself in a spicy Dorito or making itself into fries. It was just beef, fiesta salsa, and a melted cheese blend grilled to perfection. I guess it was too pure for this world. Now, is the Meximelt in your rotation, Kevin?
Yeah, it's good.
What?
It's good.
What happened?
It's just kind of like a quesadilla, right?
You're asking me, a guy who buys it occasionally, what happened?
Well, I'm just asking you to...
I don't know.
Take an educated guess.
They weren't selling enough or they were too expensive?
But it sounds perfect.
Well, I'm sure they're not canceling it because it's perfect.
I don't know.
So we could probably rule that out.
Are you sure?
Too pure for this world?
Yes.
Damn.
Too pure for this world.
That's why.
I don't understand how something that's perfect can be canceled.
Right.
Okay, that's thing one.
Canceled.
Thing two. His last words were, if I can open it up, then it will be magic. But if I can't, it will be tragic.
Oh, no.
This is an Indian magician known as the Wizard Mandrake, who was doing one of these stunts where you get tied up with steel chains and rope, and then you get lowered into the water, and then you unlock yourself, and you swim to the surface until you don't. He was down there, and they, I guess they finally sent somebody in to look for his body after 30 minutes.
20, they're like, you know what? He's good. Let's give him a little time.
I swear he's coming back.
He's going to get through.
30 minutes he was down there. I feel like there should have been, I don't know if this had been in America, I feel like there would have been some sort of safety protocol, some sort of stunt coordinator or an assistant or somebody who would have known.
I would assume that conversation is one that's had before they do the stunt.
And I read this too. Aren't these fake?
What do you mean, aren't they fake?
Like, don't they really know they're going to get out?
Well, I mean, this guy had done it multiple times before. I assume that they have a key under their tongue.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, like, I thought it was like a rigged thing.
He's really bad at it then.
No, it's a magic trick, Jensen.
Oh, I mean, yeah. Swallow the key. What am I supposed to do now?
I've got to wait to poop it out.
30 minutes.
Going to be a long wait. I mean, this is how magic tricks works, is there's supposed to be something that they're able to access that you don't know about, some way to get out of the steel chains and the rope.
Yeah.
It's not real magic. You know that, right?
That's what I mean.
I mean, I think that's what he started with.
I'm referencing the idea that shouldn't this always be, like, he should get out always. That's
always,
what magic
right.
is. Like, yes. You're supposed to be, I'm a mark. You're supposed to be, like, faking me out.
I think what we're saying is the magician should know how to get out of it.
Absolutely.
Is what we're saying, Jensen.
If he can open it up, it will be magic. But if he can't, it will be tragic. So his body was found eventually about 2 kilometers away from
the location. He's alive. He did it.
Yeah.
He did
not.
Wow,
it's a miracle.
Oh, good for him.
Magic is great.
He's not alive.
Oh.
Last thing he heard was about the Mexi-Melt, though, and that's probably why he didn't even try that hard.
You know, I'm not even going to try and free
myself. I know where the key is. I'm going to forget about it. I'm just going to live down here now.
The body was identified by his brother. They have launched an investigation into how the accident occured.
Well, we figured it out. He's a bad magician.
I think it's fairly obvious how it occurred. He had performed a similar stunt 21 years ago at the same location when he got inside a bulletproof glass box tied with a chain and locks and dropped down from a bridge. In that, and by the way, I don't know why the glass box had to be bulletproof because he's, you know, underwater. I mean, I don't know who's coming out.
Yeah.
But he came out within 29 seconds that time.
Mm.
Now, here's the most 30 minutes versus 29 seconds. Big difference. Here's my favorite paragraph of the whole thing. And this is why you mock the late magician, the Mandrake Wizard. But he also attempted a similar stunt on the river in 2013, but drew scorn from onlookers after he was seen escaping from a locked cage through a door. So they were ticked off that they saw how the trick was done, and he was reportedly beaten and punched by spectators following the incident.
They take their magic seriously.
No wonder he was so he was really trying magic now.
I better do it for real.
That's like, I'm going to stay one more minute. Okay, one more minute. Okay. Oh,
I'll show them.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Or Conspiracy Alley.
Ooh.
Maybe the people in the town got together and rigged it and said, if he's really a magician, we can rig it and he'll get out.
Boom.
Yeah.
So,
interesting. Yeah.
Technically murderers.
Murder.
Oh, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Like they put a different lock on it or something like that. You didn't have the key.
Yes.
I don't know what's going on where you blow the hang on, Linus. You blow the magic trick and then they beat you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Is there some type of magic trick that can make Linus shut the F up?
As soon as I bring him downstairs, he'll go right to sleep. But I left him in bed this morning. Anyway, that's all I got. Sorry about the magician. Sorry about the Mexi-Melt.
Hmm. Which are you more sorry about?
I mean, I think...
The Mexi-Melt,
obviously. I feel like we're all okay.
Yeah.
Although I don't like the Mexi-Melt. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bicho, shall we?
What can fans, without giving too much away, what can we expect? Nothing.
Nothing, right. That's the answer. Nothing.
Not right.
I don't know if you were listening the day that we brought you the news of the fecal transplant.
Mm.
It's not pleasant, but apparently...
This is the punk band you're talking about,
yes.
right? Fecal transplant?
But apparently it works miracles for people until it doesn't.
Oh, no.
So we're going to talk about that today. The Lakers' odds of winning the NBA completely flipped. Completely flipped. I don't even quite understand how
overnight they went from zeros to heroes.
Yeah.
And now now there's talk that they could get Kawhi Leonard. It's all insane. They're just going to be the best team in the world. And
I mean,
nothing we can do.
It wouldn't.
They failed up.
It wouldn't suck. You got someone fired we're going to talk about today. And Shia LaBeouf will join us.
Actual cannibal?
Mm-hmm. Actual cannibal, correct. He will be joining us a little bit later on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. We will take a break. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
More Disneyland Resort passes for you on the program today. Also, tickets to go see Fluffy in concert in December. We're talking about comedian Gabriel Iglesias. And new today, you guys, Spider-Man Far From Home. K-Rock Advanced Screening.
All right.
We're just giving away the farm today.
We're giving away a farm?
Well, it's an expression, meaning we have a lot of cool stuff. First, though, it's Wednesday morning. Allie's here with our first look at what's happening.
What's going on?
You guys watch Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee?
Love it.
Yes. I love it, too. There obviously are certain episodes that I absolutely want to watch.
Yeah, some are better than others.
And then I'm shocked at ones that I wasn't really interested in, like not super big fan of the person. Those wind up being fascinating. It's
I think
a great
all of them
show.
Are good.
Absolutely. However, I still think the best one ever was Carl Reiner and Mel Brooks from the first season.
Of course.
I'm just saying it was the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Right. Ugh.
Well, the 11th season of Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee debuts on July 19th on Netflix. Quite the lineup, you guys. Thanks for asking. Jerry Seinfeld's going to be rolling up in one of his cars to pick up these people. Eddie Murphy.
That's a good one.
Okay, wow. Right there.
The recluse. Yeah.
I mean, just stop it.
Interesting.
He is rarely interviewed.
Yes. Yeah. He's going to get to the bottom of some stuff, I assume. Or they'll just have some coffee and some snacks and drive around. It'll be cool. So Eddie Murphy, Seth Rogen, Ricky Gervais, Matthew Broderick, Jamie Foxx, Sebastian Maniscalco, Martin Short, Mario Joyner, Melissa Villaseñor, Bridget Everett, and Barry Martyr. So Gervais, Maniscalco, Joyner, and Martyr have all appeared on the show before, but the rest, first-timers.
I am embarrassed to say I do not know the last two names on
that list. I didn't
either. Bridget Everett?
Mm-mm. Yeah.
You do.
Oh, my God.
Amy Schumer, friend. She's wild.
She's a nuts.
Yeah,
and
she's
so funny.
Sings and dances and also does comedy. She's
just
out of her mind.
Puts a lot of people right into her big bosom.
I think she's in Trainwreck or one of those movies.
Yeah. She's been... Oh, yeah. Bean... I'll tell you off the air. I'm trying to think, and it's going to take too long. You have seen her, absolutely.
I'm sure I have. I just don't know the name. But that's cool. I'm excited. I mean, I watch every episode of that show, so I'm super psyched. And you're right, Jensen. Eddie Murphy, how rarely is he interviewed?
Yeah, he does nothing, so this will be good.
It'll be real good.
I assume they're going to be talking a lot about stand-up, and maybe we'll finally get a real answer as to why he doesn't do it anymore.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Are you just trying to figure out the Bridget Everett thing,
yeah,
even though you said you'd do it off the air?
No, because he's going to be so upset that he doesn't know this.
Yeah, it's all right, though. I mean, I think we're all good.
Yeah, no, it's good.
It's good.
Because
everyone's okay.
She played the mom in a movie that you and I both loved.
We go on
Patty
the air
Cakes?
In like
Patty
three,
Cakes.
3 minutes.
Yeah. Oh. She played the mom in Patty Cakes.
Okay. Oh, she's the mom in Patty Cakes.
Oh,
that was worth it.
That was so worth it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm in.
Yeah, she's wonderful. I'm just saying, Bridget Everett is a goddess.
Patty Cakes.
Yeah, Patty Cakes. Great movie. Kevin, you see Patty Cakes? I feel like you'd love it.
Me like it. Don't care.
You'd love
Kevin, you didn't see Patty Cakes?
I don't think so, no.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
By the way, even if he saw it, I'm not sure he'd remember. Like, he'd be like,
that's very
maybe.
True.
Yeah.
I think he'd love it.
Okay.
She's a rapper.
You went to see Men in Black International,
yeah,
yet you haven't seen Patty Cakes.
Yes.
That's a poor use of your time.
I feel like we knew that before we said it.
This radio person is the whole problem.
Okay, all right. Here's something interesting. Did you guys see the Adam Sandler, Jennifer Aniston movie on Netflix that just came out, Murder Mystery?
No.
I got through 10 minutes.
Really?
And then I fell asleep.
Really?
How would I ever watch an Adam Sandler movie? Ever.
I like them. because I don't like the movie, but I like them because I like to see how Adam Sandler spends other people's money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I enjoy that he just takes friends on vacations and he's like, we'll film something while we're there. Like, I enjoy that part of him.
Well, I'll tell you this. Murder Mystery, the latest Adam Sandler film, also starring Jennifer Aniston on Netflix, broke viewing records on the streaming service. The film was seen by close to 30.9 million households in its first 3 days. This, according to a tweet sent out yesterday. By the way, Netflix, they used to keep their ratings a secret.
Mm-hmm.
Executives would argue that the data doesn't matter. They don't rely on advertising. We don't need to tell you. However, in recent months, Netflix has been highlighting a number of hand-selected success stories. And they're
AKA ones that help their narrative.
They're going to keep doing that, too. Over the next several months, we're going to be rolling out more specific granular reporting, first to our producers, then to our members, to be more fully transparent about what people are watching on Netflix around the world. By the way, another recent earnings call, executives shared that the Ben Affleck starring movie Triple Frontier, watched by over 52 million households in its first 4 weeks.
I saw that. That was great.
Really?
Yeah.
I was just getting ready to call BS.
No, it was really, really
50
good.
50 million in 3 days?
I still think it's...
No, that was in 4 weeks.
Four weeks. Okay.
I still think these numbers... I mean, I don't know. They've released numbers on things like Fuller House is the most watched show we've ever had. I'm like, this seems like autoplay-based numbers. Does that make sense? Because things play when you're done with a show. Like,
other things you might like
automatically play.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. On Netflix?
How many people do you think are falling asleep with their Netflix on?
I mean, I agree with
a lot of people. Hey,
by the way.
Yeah. Murder Mystery, 10 minutes in, I went, good night.
It's super boring.
I think
boring,
you still counted, though, in the 30.9 million.
It's super boring is what I hear, Jensen.
Oh, yeah.
The Adam Sandler thing, like, deadly boring.
Hmm. Well, I fell asleep, so that makes sense.
There you go.
Hmm.
Kevin, add this to your list. Triple Frontier is great, first of all. Ben Affleck, Oscar Isaac, and Charlie Hunnam star in it.
All right.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's real. It's totally your kind of movie.
I would not fall asleep.
It's a special. Special ops soldier
after.
Heist movie.
Why don't you start with that?
Saying, right. What? All right. Some birthdays for you. We've got Paula Abdul, Felicia Rashad. Mm-hmm. Why does it sound weird? Felicia Rashad.
You're saying it right.
Felicia Rashad.
Are you tripping balls? Why?
Felicia Rashad. Why am I? That sounds funny. Are you guys hearing it like I'm hearing it in my head?
Oh, it's 6 a.m., guys.
Is
people are listening.
Is it slowing down? Is time slowing?
We just went on the
people
air.
Are listening.
Oh, shoot. Okay. Hugh Dancy, Zoe Saldana, Paul Dano. Dano?
What is going on with you?
I'm kidding.
And Matt
Moore.
After, 6 years of not making the playoffs? The Los Angeles Lakers fans have something to be excited about as Las Vegas oddsmakers have picked them to be the NBA title favorite. They are favored to win it all next year.
I can't even think of many instances where a team that didn't make the playoffs then becomes the favorite.
Can't think of any.
Yeah. Well, I'll talk to our friend RJ Bell all about this, founder of pregame.com out of Las Vegas, coming up in about 20 minutes. First, though... Kevin, do I want a fecal transplant or do I not want a fecal transplant?
You don't want it, but you want to know about it. What happened is Bean was out and Allie was out and Jensen were out. Mm-hmm. And I had Megan fill in with me, Megan Holiday. Mm-hmm. And we introduced the audience to the fecal transplant. And I feel I feel like the three of you missed out.
Oh,
so just
no.
A quick course in what happens when you don't have enough good bacteria in your stomach.
In some cases, that's not enough. Gastroenterologist Dr. Ailsa Hart is working with colleagues from Imperial College on novel approaches to rebalancing gut bacteria, the most drastic of which involves performing a fecal transplant.
All right, so you're really at the end of the rope, and you're like, okay, listen, I need something to stop all my stomach trouble.
I'll try anything at this point.
Yeah. Okay.
No matter how crazy it sounds.
Feces from a healthy donor.
Okay, you still in?
Wait.
Feces from a healthy
donor. No, I don't need to hear it again, Kevin. I'm wrapping my head around it.
You want to wrap your head around it, so I just thought.
Feces from a healthy donor.
Where do they
are transplanted into the guts of patients suffering from a condition called pouchitis.
First of all, that's not true. Pouchitis isn't a thing.
It's a made-up thing.
And how does it get to the
hold
gut?
Hold up.
Oh, God.
Hold on.
Oh, God.
Luckily, I'm Jewish, so when I was born, they stopped my pouchitis.
First, the donor feces are blended with salt water.
Okay, good.
And then filtered.
It sounds, I must admit, slightly revolting.
Slightly. Sounds slightly revolting.
I don't know, it's filtered, so it's a little better.
No. Right. Do they mix it with salt water because it tastes better that way?
There's no taste.
Come on.
There's I'm no trying taste. To figure out how they get it in the dude's stomach.
You'll find out.
The next stage is to put the fecal solution into the patient.
We take a nasogastric tube.
Down it goes, down the nose.
Down the nose, into the patient's stomach.
Oh, did not think we were going that way.
Who saw down the nose coming?
Jensen.
No.
Let's get out of here.
I did not have down the nose in the office pool.
No.
Oh my gosh.
The nose. Can there not be a better plan than that? Oh. I know, I'm with you, Allie.
I would rather have them perform surgery and literally cut open my stomach and insert it that way.
I'd rather have a catheter. I'd rather go through the front.
I'd rather deal with having colitis or whatever these people have.
So this is a miracle new process, and turns out people have died from it.
Oh, no.
Now in the past, like, week.
Yes. So they are the Food and Drug Administration announced on Thursday that they are stopping fecal transplants until they figure out what went wrong here. Oh, and I think they have some hints that it had to do with bacteria or something. I don't know, but I do know there's a person who will know. And it's our good friend, Dr. Mo, who I've just been informed has been coming on the Kevin and Bean Show to talk us through medical issues. Is this right, doctor? For 16 years now.
Can you believe that?
What?
16 years.
Wow. All right. Doctor- so far, do we have it all right as far as fecal transplants?
Well, there's a lot to unpack here.
Oh man.
Come on.
Yeah, well, sorry. Yeah, welcome
so
to
you actually
talk.
are pooping out somebody else's poop, right? That happens?
Sort of. All right. So the reason this started was there was this thing called C. difficile, Clostridium difficile. And what happened was we take so many antibiotics for so many things that these antibiotics were wiping out normal bacteria, leaving behind in your colon this other bacteria called C. difficile, and it used to give you this, like, roaring bad diarrhea. So when you'd hear about these things called antibiotic-associated diarrhea, and that was pretty bad. Well, the problem was evolution happened, and this C. difficile got so bad and so toxic, it would literally rot your colon.
Oh.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. So, yeah, welcome to Poop Talk. So next is... So what they wanted to do is like, all right, well, if we got rid of that good bacteria,
right?
Well, no, if the good bacteria got wiped out, allowing the bad one to take over, if you put regular stool that was, quote, healthy, unquote, back in there and repopulate it, it would sort of, like, get rid of the infection. And you know what? It worked.
Have you done this?
No. Oh, heck no. I'm just a surgeon. I just cut people open.
Oh,
but
I
anyway.
Know.
So,
do you also close them?
when they ask nice. Okay. Yes.
Dr. Rowe, how long has the fecal transplant procedure been around, and how many times do you estimate it has been used successfully before this death happened this week?
Well, it's been going on for a couple of years, and some of the last studies showed it's got a 75 to 90% success rate with one treatment.
Wow.
So okay. Wow.
There is something here, yeah. And so when you guys talked about pouchitis.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you guys didn't realize how, and this sounds really strange, how cool and almost science fiction stuff that this British guy was talking about. What pouchitis is these patients are so sick, and they've had these diseases, probably like some sort of inflammatory bowel disease. Anyway, they had their colon removed, and surgeons built a little new colon called a pouch out of their small intestine. And sometimes that needs, like, bacteria that's normally found in stool, so they figured out a way how to populate that pouch that was surgically created to create these people new colons with stool.
What you doing today, honey? I'm going to go in and I'm going to rebuild a colon.
I'm getting a robot colon.
And I'm going to use somebody else's poop to do it.
Yeah. Right,
good luck. So
the pouchitis thing was actually a little bit cooler than it sounded like, although to the layperson it sounds freaking badass crazy. So anyway.
So was the problem here, Dr. Mo, because, you know, as usual, we never have as much time as we'd like with you, but is the problem here that this fecal matter, this healthy fecal matter that was put in somebody else's stomach reacted in a way that they did not expect?
Right. So this brings us to the death issue, which was they're doing this for patients that they called immunocompromised. So these are sick patients that probably have problems with bad bacteria that got wiped out by the good bacteria, and they're trying to repopulate it like we talked about earlier. And what's happening now is there are bacteria in normal people that are multi-drug resistant. And we actually talked about this on your show back in 2005, if you can believe it.
Sure, I remember.
I know. But What's happened now is, in all of us, we have bacteria like staph and strep and E. coli that used to be able to be wiped out with one bacteria, but now are resistant to a whole bunch of them. And what happened in this case is a guy who was healthy didn't know he carried these like super versions of E. coli, and when they put them in these two patients, they got super sick and one of them died. So the FDA basically said, all right, we know this works in most people, but this is a new twist on it that it didn't even dawn on them how this could possibly happen.
Does this give us less of a chance of having to put somebody else's feces down our nose?
Okay.
I mean, I feel like the death helps me in that case.
I think you're doing better. But remember, the nose thing is they put an NG tube down, so you didn't have to taste it. You didn't have to smell it. They basically put a thin tube down your nose.
Doctor Moe, I'm not taking your word for it, bro. You haven't had it yet, so I'm just going to say I do taste it and I do smell it. So.
Okay. Hi, Jensen, by the way.
Good morning. Good morning.
Right.
Fabulous.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Outstanding. Right. Wonderful.
Right.
Terrific.
Right. Terrific.
Good morning.
Right.
Yeah. This is okay.
Good morning.
Thank you. This is Dr. Bo. This is the tip of the iceberg in a bigger problem where humanity is becoming is developing more and more bacteria that are resistant to antibiotics. And down the road, this is going to be a way bigger problem than just one dude in a fecal transplant, right?
Yeah.
Oh, bigger no. Picture. Does that mean we're back in danger of somebody else's feces down our nose? We were just out of danger 30 seconds ago.
You're worried about feces down the nose?
Yes.
You forgot what Dr. Drew talked about the other day about typhoid and bubonic plague?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Infections
we're
are going to kick our ass.
All right, Dr. Moe, we always appreciate your insight. He is the head of medical quality at St. Mary's Medical Center in Long Beach and a good friend, long time, of the Kevin and Bean Show. Have a great week. We'll talk to you again, sir. Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning.
Right.
Fabulous.
Right.
Outstanding. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Terrific. Good morning. Yeah. Good morning.
That fecal transplant talk was a hell of a way to start the day.
Wasn't it? Hallie just went, mm-mm.
I am not okay. As soon as you said down the nose, that's when I blacked out. I don't remember anything after that. I know.
Hopefully that'll be true when you have to do it, too.
Oh, no.
I think that's better than a lot of other ways it could have gotten in there, by the way.
I don't know. I'm trying to figure out
I don't
one.
Know, man. Through the mouth? I can't, honestly.
Yes, as a matter of fact.
That's the only one.
Human centipeding it. Deal with that.
I'm not positive. We're at that point.
We'll talk Lakers. And then an interesting topic that Jensen suggested we do today, which is that you got somebody fired. And I'm trying to see who he's looking at here. But he's got a plan. We'll take your calls on that coming up. First, Allie's got what's happening here on Wednesday.
What's going on?
What's going on is you guys are the bearer of bad news. And you don't even know it.
Uh-oh.
We've heard this occasionally, and it's really shocking to us that we know anything before anyone.
Yeah, it is pretty shocking. And pretty shocking that it involves Christina Applegate, who was on Jimmy Kimmel's show a couple days ago and was talking about how she heard that her show was canceled because Jimmy asked her, did you guys ever have like a big finale for Married with Children? And then she let him know, no, we didn't. And I'll tell you another thing.
That show was on for, 11 seasons,
years.
Right?
Yeah, 11.
Did you have a big, a series finale like these shows seem to have now?
No, man. I actually learned that we were canceled from the radio, but not, like, firsthand. Someone was listening to Kevin and Bean.
Oh, I was on that show.
And Kevin, I heard.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin and Bean knew before me.
They know everything.
And they said something, and then someone I knew had heard it on Kevin and Bean and then called me to tell me that the show was canceled.
Oh,
so
no.
That's how they operate.
You get the bad news from Kevin and Bean?
From Kevin and Bean.
By the way, Jimmy Kimmel goes, they know everything.
Amazing.
It also seems like they're being paid to say your name.
It does, a little
bit. A bunch of Kevin and Beans.
A little bit. That was odd.
I think there's a segment in Kevin and Bean Broke the Bad News to You, too, by the way.
Sure.
Can you imagine,
sure,
though, just driving in your car and, like, me or Ralph or somebody said, oh, bad news if you're a fan of whatever show, canceled,
yeah,
and you're the star of the show, and you're like, what?
You're the actor hearing that?
Oh.
Yeah, that's
that awesome. Doesn't feel good.
No.
Remember when Rainn Wilson was in, and he was telling us, God, he was in a movie called The Rocker or something, and he found out what its box office was listening to us. And we were doing nothing but mocking how poorly his film did over the weekend.
Yeah, he
weekend.
Was listening. We were like, how is it possible for a movie to get less money?
This has got to be one of the biggest stiffs of all time in cinema history.
Oh, in your defense, no. That movie is a garbage can.
It really is. Yeah. But you don't picture the person that you're talking
actually
about
listening
to you talk about what a terrible movie that was. Mm-hmm.
I did feel bad about that because we love Rain. By the way, I've seen that movie
Christina
since.
As well.
Yes, we do. I've seen that movie, The Rocker, since. I don't think it's as bad as all
you
that.
Watched it since then?
I have.
Yeah,
I don't
you
think
make
it's
bad
as bad
choices.
As all that.
I hope Rain is listening because that movie's awful.
Oh,
awful.
Leave him alone.
Well, we apologize to Christina Applegate. We did not mean to give you bad news.
I mean,
it's just what we do, though.
What's the new show? Dead to Me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Dead Like Me.
Dead Like, no. None of this sounds right.
I think it's Dead to Me.
There's dead in it. Somebody
yeah,
look it
it's
up.
Her with Linda Fiorentino, right?
Nope.
It's called,
nope.
It's called Dead to Me.
It's Ted to Me, yeah. You got to write the first
time. We both watched it. And neither of us can think
oh,
of the
it's
show.
Linda Cardellini.
It's
yeah.
Linda Cardellini,
dead
first of all.
Yes. It's Dead to Me.
Dead
amazing.
Like Me was also a show.
I thought it might have been. Yeah, Dead to Me anyway on Netflix. So good. And
great.
Renewed for a second season. Mm-hmm. A lot of twists, a lot of turns. It's really good. So,
is Ed Asner really in it?
Yeah. Yeah, he's great.
Wow.
Dude. Yeah.
That's
it might
shocker.
Be the ghost of Ed Asner, though.
Okay.
Like, I'm not sure he's fully... He's very old in it.
It's a trap.
What?
He's very
he's
old.
He's very old in
very
it?
Very old.
Hmm. That's weird that they couldn't young him up for something. The guy's in his 80s.
He's very old.
Okay.
In the show. Uh-huh. I don't know about real life.
Okay.
Both, I would suggest.
Yeah. So Ed Sheeran pulling out all the stops for his upcoming album, Number 6 Collaborations Project, adding some more big names to a lineup that already included Justin Bieber, Bruno Mars, and Chance the Rapper. He released the official track list for the album yesterday.
Who is it?
Heavy hitters like Cardi B, Camila Cabello, Khalid. Yes, Khalid, not Khalid.
Will you ever get that right
nope.
on the first try?
No, because it's K-H-A-L-I-D. That should be Khalid, because lid at the end.
And then you
but
think
it's
L-E-D.
Khalid should be lead.
Lead.
Yeah, it's
what a weird word, huh?
It's Khalid.
Jesus.
Khalid.
It's Khalid.
Stay on target.
Travis Scott, Eminem, and 50 Cent
yeah,
team
crazy,
up on a song.
That's a crazy one.
That sounds crazy.
Yeah.
Yes. And then, not to be outdone, teaming up, Meek Mill and a Boogie with the Hoodie.
Mm-hmm.
And then Skrillex. I mean.
I don't like this. Any of these... artists singing with Ed Sheeran.
Do you like this in general, though, Bean? Do you like artists going out and working with other artists? Because
yeah,
I love
very much.
And Ed,
very
Sheeran,
much, yeah.
Ed Sheeran is certainly a guy who doesn't have to do that.
And he mm-hmm. loves mm-hmm. hip-hop. Yeah. He's been a big rap fan for a long time, so.
So there you have it,
that's
everybody.
Interesting. I like it.
I'm into it.
It's quite a track list.
Mm-hmm. It absolutely is a track list. And if you're a fan of Queer Eye, guess what? It's coming back for a fourth and fifth season, you guys. Not bad. By the way, season 4 is going to debut all episodes on July 19th.
How come the cast of Queer Eye isn't listening? They go, hey, just heard the good news on your show. Why doesn't that happen instead of Christina Applegate?
They could be.
They
could
be
listening
okay.
right now.
All right.
And
so we just broke good news.
Yeah.
Well, they probably knew.
Okay.
But
so we thought about Christina Applegate.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
All right. Some birthdays for you. Macklemore, Paul Dano. Macklemore. What's going on?
What is going on?
Macklemore. Paul Dano. Zoe Saldana. Hugh Dancy. Felisa Rashad. I mean, really. And Paula Abdul.
Just watching you. I feel what you're just feeling so much joy. And it's exciting. I feel I'm one big goosebump. And I just am so excited for you because look at you. I mean, this is it for you. You're so good.
Sounds a little ominous.
People used to just let her do that on TV. Mm-hmm. Like, no one was like,
ramble.
I think something's wrong with Paula uh-huh. Abdul.
Nope. Let her talk.
Jeez.
Kind of like me sometimes.
Hey! Not bad.
Okay.
In about a minute, we're going to talk to RJ Bell about the Lakers and how you can bet on them and make money and everything else. But first, Dave, the King of Mexico is here. Dave?
You guys voting?
For
president?
For the Dodgers, the All-Star game.
Is it that time of year again? Of course it
is. Yeah, well, right now, the Major League Baseball is doing something a little different, where now they're doing, like, preliminary voting. So they're voting for the top three position players to become starters, and then top nine outfielders.
Okay.
And right now, some of the Dodgers are doing pretty good. Cody Bellinger is number one overall, but we got Jock in seventh, and then we have Justin Turner, Corey Seager, and Max Muncy just outside the top three. So we need to get those guys in the top three so they could be voted to
Congrats
be starting.
Congrats to baseball for finding a more confusing thing.
No kidding. But what was wrong with the way they were doing it?
Yeah, but it makes it a lot
too
easier.
Much sense.
Because all you gotta do is go to Google. Okay. Go to Google, type in MLB All-Stars, and then you get to vote.
There you go.
Boom! Go Dodgers.
Who's the one player you're going to be really mad if he doesn't make the All-Star team?
Alex Verdugo, who's killing it right now. Okay. He's an outfielder for the Dodgers, and he's second year, just killing it.
That's Dave's pick, you guys. Mm-hmm. All right, so MLB All-Star voting is going on until when, Dave? When's the cutoff?
You got until Friday.
Friday,
and then you vote for the starters. So
stop. There's got to be how many tiers are there in this voting scheme?
I can't believe the voting takes longer in those games.
we promised Laker talk because things have changed tremendously in the last week for Los Angeles' premier franchise. Hit it, Steve. 'Cause he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell. We go direct to Las Vegas to the founder of pregame.com, the exclusive odds provider for the Associated Press, and the co-host of Straight Out of Vegas with RJ Bell, which airs on Fox Sports Radio weekdays at 3. RJ, how you been, my friend?
You know, so I have an idea, guys. It should be in my contract next year.
Okay.
Right? I mean, as someone ascends the industry, they get more demands, let's be honest.
Okay.
That Dave should always be the guest before me. And then people are going to be like, that RJ sounds deep-voiced. He sounds intelligent.
So Dave talking about voting for the Dodgers did not necessarily do it for you.
It sounded like Dave's teenage son.
That's about right.
What was he doing? He was going, I mean, he seemed very nervous.
Wow.
Listen to RJ bringing the heat. I love Dave. He's a great producer.
Take it easy. Right. He's not
Keep
that either.
Here.
Come on
right.
now.
All right, here's the headline that just kind of blew our minds a little bit. Las Vegas oddsmakers pick the Lakers as the NBA title favorite. RJ, lay this out for us in lay people's terms here. So you get one new player and all of a sudden everything turns upside down.
Well, that's why the NBA is such a player's league, right? If you really think the NFL, and imagine if there's a dispute amongst the players and the owners. You know the favorite is going to be the owners. We've seen it with the kneeling for the anthem and all of that. In the NBA, there's what, 15 guys that really matter?
Superstars, yeah.
And LeBron is at the top of that list, though. Here's the question, and I don't want to be a naysayer. LeBron had his worst season by far last year. Now, if you just look at the calendar, he's not old enough, you would think, oh, huge drop off. The wall is coming. But LeBron has had a one-of-a-kind career when it comes to mileage on his legs. Not only all those regular season games, all those playoff games, 8 straight trips to the finals before this most recent season, and then even the Olympics a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, was last year the beginning of the downfall or the downtrend of LeBron?
You can't let us enjoy this for a minute,
no,
RJ.
I'm just trying to give you the question.
No, hey, honestly, listen, I think it's
you guys knew what the odds were. If you just wanted me to read the odds, you didn't need me. Right?
I think there was a lot of clearly we're not going to go anywhere this year, so I don't think his stats necessarily reflect
where
he is. Okay.
That's the question, though. Once he was injured, because on Christmas Day, the Lakers were fourth seeds in the West, which was mighty good. They had a viable. In fact, LeBron the year before with the Cleveland team was only a 4 seed when they went to the finals. But then he got hurt. The team dropped off. And then they tried to trade for Anthony Davis. And at that point, the whole team got, let's say, upset because they felt like they were no longer important except for LeBron. And the team kind of rebelled. Well, now those guys, most of them have been traded. Lakers were able to keep Kuzma, which was good. And now they got Anthony Davis, one of the top 10 players in the league. But Anthony Davis has never done much or anything really in the playoffs.
I don't think I like your attitude.
Is that because of lack of opportunity, or is that because he just isn't a playoff caliber guy? Most would say lack of opportunity. Let's hope so if you're a Laker fan.
But RJ, if you're looking at odds as you do, like the Lakers being the favorite to win the NBA championship with six players on their roster and didn't make the playoffs last year, this is a terrible bet.
Yes, because here's why it's terrible. The Lakers have maybe the most intense fans in basketball. Now, you might say that sounds like a good thing. Yeah, it is for the Lakers. But think about the betting market. Mm-hmm. The Chicago Cubs back in the day are a good analogy. Every year, there was all these schlubs, and I say that lovingly, from Chicago that would come to Vegas, and they always wanted a $20 World Series future ticket in their pocket. Why? Because it was going to be a souvenir. Mm-hmm. That's what history told them. But all that betting made the Cubs odds get depressed. In a way, that's the case with the Lakers. If the exact same team, LeBron, Anthony Davis, etc., Kuzma, were on Minnesota, the odds would not be 4-1, and that's what they are for the Lakers. It's because L.A., one, has such intense fans, and two, it's so geographically close. You got a lot of people coming for the weekend that bet on the Lakers.
All right, let me just run down the list of odds, because then try to put this into perspective for us. Lakers are first, Bucks are second, Clippers are third.
Which makes no sense.
Then Raptors and Warriors.
All right, here's why the Clippers. One, this year the Clippers really did better than expected. They have a foundation better than expected.
Okay.
They're also amongst the favorites, if not the favorite, for Kawhi Leonard, the MVP, with Toronto of this year's finals. The theory is, if he goes to the Clippers, how good is that team? And there's a very good chance Kawhi goes to the Clippers.
That's the last thing I want to do is bet on rich white guys picking up players. It seems like I'm not even betting on the games anymore. I'm betting on the front office.
I mean, you sound so urban. I see your point about not wanting, you know, those rich white guys.
I'm the most urban person at K-Rock. Yeah, so.
That's true, by the way.
Let's hope not.
But RJ, are we all to believe that the Golden State Warriors' reign is over then because they had a bunch of injuries in the finals? I mean, won't those guys, most of those guys, be back for next season?
No, see, that's the thing. Here's the caveat, and this is amazing. We actually, this is world premiere announcement because we just finished the research. We'll talk about it today. Last year, the whole regular season, so 30 teams playing 82 games, had two major injuries from players that were playing 20 minutes or more. So, you know, just a key player
right. That
was out for like 11 months or so, like almost a year. Only two mm-hmm. the whole year. In the finals, Golden State had two. So the whole season or the finals, the same amount of catastrophic 11-12-month injuries. Durant, 11-12 months expected. Klay Thompson, 11-12 months. Now, where Durant is going to be, we don't even know. He's so good that it's assumed that some teams, the Knicks most likely, will sign him to a 4-year max contract that will be like $100+ million.
While injured.
Wow, he's going to miss the first quarter, in theory, 1 year of the 4 years. He's that good, but he's likely not even going to be on Golden State, and Klay Thompson likely wouldn't even be back until the finals next year. How does the team make the finals if they lose? This is Golden State. Now, their first best player, Durant, by most accounts, their third best player, Klay. Now, Draymond Green, let's just say he likes the buffet, so he's struggling. So you got Steph back, who fought like a warrior, no pun intended, in the finals. But listen, you can't do it by yourself. So at this point, Golden State, who has been historic favorites for years, 11-1. The Raptors are ahead of them, Clippers, and the Milwaukee Bucks with Giannis from the East. Lakers are the favorite.
All right, we're out of time. I just want to ask you, of the top five, what's, for people who don't care about basketball, what's the best bet?
I would say Milwaukee, because Milwaukee. Giannis disappointed this year in the playoffs, But that's a learning curve for these young players. He's probably the best young player. Milwaukee at 7-1, I would like. I do think the Lakers deserve to be a favorite, though. Sure. I just don't think it's great value.
My long shot's the Pelicans, RJ.
You know, I think over the next 5 years,
really?
That's a good bet.
Okay.
Hey, yep. RJ, I don't care. But do you know James Holzhauer from Jeopardy?
You know, a little bit.
Awesome.
He was a guy, first of all, amazing. It makes sports better. See, you guys were ahead of the time saying, you know, these sports bettors are kind of smart. James did a great job,
yeah.
No doubt. But he was a famous guy in that he wasn't famous, meaning he really tried to keep himself unknown, because the more unknown you are, the better, or the more often you can bet without trouble from those dastardly bookies.
Well, that's over now for him.
Oh, for what? He's got enough money.
So.
If it weren't for those California taxes, though, oh, man, I don't know if you read about that.
Unreal.
RJ is the founder of pregame.com. Don't miss his iTunes podcast, RJ Bell's Dream Preview, which is awesome, and the daily radio show Straight Out of Vegas with RJ Bell, 3 to 4 on Fox Sports Radio weekdays. We'll talk again soon, my friend. Thanks for jumping on.
Thank you, guys.
Cause he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell.
All right, Jensen, you have something to tell us, or what's going on here?
Which one of us did you get fired?
Well, no.
That's the question.
Oh.
Have you gone to HR?
No, not yet.
Okay.
No.
You plan
on
it.
I didn't mean to grab your testes, honestly. I was reaching for a pen.
Sure. You've said that numerous times
I
now.
Mean, that is where Jensen keeps his pens.
I guess it's that I recently have been thinking about this dude that one time worked on my car,
mm-hmm.
and he was a real jerkwad. And he was, like, rude, and he cost me a ton of money. And my dad had worked at Galpin for years.
Right.
My dad worked at Galpin for, I don't know, 14 years. And this is much after his death. But I said to the guy, I said, you're being a real jerk. And he even amped up the jerkness.
Ah.
And I was like, dude, help me here. I'm just asking you. I was being as polite as humanly possible. And he just kept drilling me. And I go, you know what, dude? I'm going to give you one last chance. I genuinely, let's just work this out so it goes okay. I said, because my dad worked there for 14 years. He said, mm-hmm. what's your dad's name? I don't know him. I said, well, he's dead. It'd be weird if he still worked there and he was dead. And I said, well, I'm gonna call Bert and Bo then. Guys who've been on this show. This is, you know, decades before that. And they called him in, and he was a jerk to them, and they let him go.
Oh.
So it was like I was the catalyst to have them come in and explain himself. But then when Bert was nice enough to call me and explain to me the story and help me out, he goes, and that guy wasn't nice to me when he came in.
That's insane.
Yeah, which is nuts. So he must have been going through something.
I mean, I can understand that you're having a bad day or something, so
yeah.
you take it out on Jensen
mm-hmm.
like yeah. one day or whatever. But if you get called in by the owners.
Yeah, make it work.
Maybe step it up a bit.
So he got yeah. fired. So I don't know why he's come up in my mind lately, but I definitely got that dude fired. My wife, Danielle, told me a story the other day about.
I'm sorry, who?
My wife.
Thank
when,
you.
When she dated. This is also worth the story one day, but when she dated Lance Bass. Now, there might be
okay.
one problem with that story, which you can figure out later. But, like, you know, 20 years ago they dated.
Oh, because he wanted to go to space?
Yeah, that was the problem.
Okay.
That
Good
was
point.
Why it didn't work out.
Yeah.
And so she had, back in the day, they used to have phone numbers on tickets. Do you remember that?
On tickets.
On plane oh. tickets.
No.
Yeah,
oh.
your phone number.
Oh,
used to be
really?
Able,
okay.
This is like an old thing.
Right.
Oh.
And so she gets a phone call one day. When she in Florida, she'd been traveling, and it's a little girl who's like, I'm a huge fan, da, 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 da. And she goes, I that's great. That's awesome. How did you get my number? And she goes, my mom works for this airline.
Oh, no.
And had given
no.
me the number.
Oh, no.
Et cetera, et cetera. And so Danielle was very nice to the child, but then told the airline, and then the airline told her, well, we had to let go of her because that's a privacy issue.
How on earth did that – was that ever a plan that your personal phone number would be on your boarding pass?
Well, I think only the – you know, they assume only the airline itself, the people who work there, would see it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So they trust those people enough to hold your phone numbers.
Well, they shouldn't.
Well, this woman proved it. So
yeah.
It started to get me thinking, like, had I gotten anyone else fired from their job?
Jensen just leaves a trail of bodies
That's
behind him everywhere
I'm
he goes.
Wow.
So what I'm saying is be
He's
nice
an executioner.
To me. Yeah, be nice to me if I'm
so
coming
you
in your
and
shop.
Your wife have both gotten employees fired
Correct.
Due to poor service.
Yes.
That is interesting because when you think about the number of people listening who have had a bad experience in business
mm-hmm.
and they've complained about an employee – Do they feel – I mean, I wonder if you would be happy that somebody lost. I guess it would depend on the severity of the problem that you had with them. I mean, if you complained about something relatively minor and then they lost their job, I bet you might feel terrible about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I think so, you know, too. Both those instances, I think, were warranted.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think so, too.
And
yeah.
by the way, most of the time, if they let somebody go, it's also somebody that's like, this is just the last straw. Yeah. It's not the first thing that's
right,
happened
right.
for the most part.
So we want to take some calls on this topic. If you complained about somebody and got them fired at 1-800-520-1067, and how did you feel about it? Lee from Tustin wrote in, I used to work at a major aircraft assembly plant. There were two guys there that hated another guy and wanted to get him fired. So they cooked up a story about him, how he was stealing from the company. He went to the investigations office and denied everything, but said the other two were the biggest thieves in the company. Well, they visited the homes of all three. There was nothing at the home of the guy they were trying to set up, but both of them had been stealing stuff.
Oh,
and
what?
They were fired. They would have gotten away with it if they had not tried
man.
To get the third guy fired.
Dummies.
So technically, the guy who is the victim here is the one who ended up complaining and getting the other two guys fired. And they deserved it, it sounds like.
It does sound like it, yeah.
So question, that's from Lee and Tustin.
Would you feel satisfied? That's what I'm trying to work with.
It depends on every situation, though. Mm-hmm. It depends a lot. If you're like, if you like the person in general, but then just there was a huge thing that happened and you just told management about it, but you like that person, maybe you feel bad.
Yeah. I think, the severity matters. And if it's someone that made you feel unsafe about something, was threatening you or your family, said really racial things,
that's above,
then you're
that's
like,
above
okay,
the line.
We'll
listen,
see
I'm just
ya.
Talking about someone serving like too cold of a coffee.
Oh my God, Jensen's
that's where Jensen
a
has
monster.
Gotten. The executioner has
monster.
Gotten to that place.
Jensen is the executioner. Man. He leaves the building every day going, whose life can I ruin today by getting them fired?
He just points at somebody and they drop dead.
You know what? Yesterday in the parking lot, he said, whose car is this? Mm-hmm. It was like a little bit over the line. Now,
and
Jensen.
Now
it,
and now that janitor no longer works here.
All right, let's take one call before the break and let's make it. Is it Neb? Neb and Lomita on line one? Or is it Neil?
I
what am I reading
Neil.
Here?
I see Neil.
Sorry, it's Neil. Sorry.
But okay. I would like to suggest that we call him Neb.
Okay,
and
Neb.
And Neil, don't be sorry that Bean can't read.
Yeah, that is not on you. That's strictly the distance I am from the screen right now. All right, Neb, go ahead. What's going on?
There's a strange coincidence, though. That is my middle name. So
Neil Neb.
Be careful. If you're too funny, Jensen will fire you.
All right. You got somebody fired. What happened?
You know what? He was a guy that I tried to work with. He was in the same office as me. I do post-production, so I'm an editor. He was an assistant editor. We're in the same room. I was doing my best, man. I would try to, like, reach out. I'd try to show him things. He wasn't quite getting it, but at the same time, the thing we realized is that he'd already been fired from the same company, and nobody had been there who had been there before, so he'd gotten hired again for some reason.
Oof. Oh.
So we find out this piece of information, and ultimately, I sort of like reached a tipping point and I waited for a perfect opportunity when he had totally blown it. So he had lost a piece of media I had to deliver to a client. Mm-hmm. I was like, where's the media? He's like, oh, I'll find it. I wait like 2 minutes. I'm like, where's the media? He starts to get a little more flustered. I'm like, where's the media? And to the point where he blows up, he's like, I don't have to take this. I don't have to take being yelled at. The entire office hears this. He goes storming out of the office. He walks out for the day, of course, giving me the perfect opportunity at that point to be like, I feel unsafe, which I did. But I also definitely pushed his buttons too much.
and then he's gone. And then he got fired for that.
Yeah. The next Monday morning, I was in a meeting in the conference room and I see him hauling his stuff across the lobby area.
Was there a twinge of, I feel bad now?
You know what? I do in theory. However, as a human being, human being, yeah. he just rubbed me the wrong way, and I you know, I'd love to feel bad, but ultimately, it was his second time. You know, how can you get fired from the same place twice?
Neb is heartless.
Yeah, it's hard.
It really is.
And you need to teach your coworkers to rub you the right way too.
Oh Lord!
I've been trying, but then I got fired.
Neb, we gotta go.
1-800-520-1067. You got somebody fired. We want to hear your story next time, Cameron.
All right, just had a song. Let's take one phone call. We're talking about you got somebody fired. Let's make it Tatiana in Arcadia. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning.
Who'd you get fired and why, Tatiana?
It was when I was 17 years old and I was in study hall at school. I had a substitute teacher that day who decided to turn on the air conditioning because it was really hot. And about 30 minutes into class, I started to get really dizzy, and so did everyone else. I was like, oh, maybe it's just the heat. Maybe I just didn't drink enough water. And then some teacher just threw open the door and came running in and saying, what are you doing? Close the air vents. They're running rat poison through the air vents right now. You're going to kill everyone.
What?
Oh, my gosh.
The what?
Yep. We all almost died after 30 minutes of inhaling rat poison.
And he was, and the teacher was supposed to know? The teacher had like some sort of alert that that was supposed to happen at that time?
I think so, yeah, because the other teacher just came running in saying, what are you doing? You should have had the air vents closed.
Okay, I'm going to ask a dumb question here. Why were they doing that while there were students in the school? Why is this not a weekend thing that they do?
We had a lot of construction going on at the time, so a lot of it was being done during the day. And we were actually in, like, this little five-trailer thing where it's, like, five classes all in a trailer.
Oh, interesting.
And,
okay.
Yeah, and I guess we were having a rat problem.
Hmm. Well, I mean, there's... Okay.
I mean, are we concerned about
it's
the school
okay.
district?
I'm alive.
Yeah, you're alive. That's the good news.
I can't say for the other students. I never saw them again.
I have mixed feelings about a teacher getting fired because we so desperately need good teachers. I hate to think that this was a good teacher who just didn't get the memo.
He was just hot.
And then all of a sudden, Tatiana gets him fired because of a mistake.
Oh, this teacher, I mean? This teacher wants students dead. Come on, Bean.
That's true. He was trying to poison them with rat poison.
Yeah.
All right, Tatiana, thank you for the call. We appreciate it so much. 1-800-520-1067. Who'd you get fired and why? Your call is coming up next on the world-famous K-Rock.
Talking about you got somebody fired.
This is Robert writing in from Los Angeles. Dear Kevin and Bean, years ago I went to Robinson's May to get acoustic Christmas tickets. Remember those days, by the way?
Wow.
You used to have to go to a location and line up
Stand
to try to buy
line.
Tickets?
Yep.
I was told by the employee that it was first come, first serve. I was the first one there, and he gave me a ticket that said I had reserved spot number 2. Well, I figured that someone had come in before and got number 1. Well, I left and came back 5 minutes before they went on sale. I was the first person in a line of over 50 people. I talked to the same employee, and he notified me that he had number 1.
The employee,
took number 1, right? Only one pair of tickets came out, and then your show was sold out. The employee was the only one of the 50 of us that got tickets.
Well, he deserved to be fired.
I then went and talked to the manager. I got him fired, and I called the corporate office and got a pair of tickets. F that guy, says Robert.
Yep, he's right.
There was a lot of shady stuff going on back when you used to
really
buy tickets in line, right?
Yep.
All right, let's start with Nicole in this segment, please. 1-800-520-1067. Nicole is calling us from HB. Who'd you get fired and why?
So, hi, guys. Hi. I got my best friend fired.
Your best friend fired?
she was, I found out she was a pathological liar, and she was telling other friends of ours that she had an affair with an executive at my office. So I had to go to my boss at the time, the director of human resources, and she did an investigation, and she had told other people at our office that she did have an affair with this guy that she did not have an affair with. She got fired.
And you guys,
I'm having trouble following this soap opera.
I'm assuming you guys are no longer best friends.
We aren't. It's weird. We haven't spoken in 4 years.
That is weird.
Yeah, that makes sense. Makes that sense. Weird. That checks out to me.
After you got her fired, you guys weren't as close? All right, Nicole, thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that. All right, we got some crazy ones here. Let's try Anthony, line 3. Now, just reading the synopsis here, this sounds like an overreaction, but we'll give Anthony and Fulton a chance to explain. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Hey, so my truck battery died. I had just enough juice to jump it, get it to O'Reilly Auto Parts, and I had no idea how to change it out. The guys there were helping me. Specific guy named Bobby, super sweet guy, talking about his family, his friends, and how he loved working there, moving from overseas, nice Jamaican guy. Eventually, we got the battery in. He was teaching me everything. Love this guy. It didn't start, and then he realized, oh, the battery was the wrong one. We switched the battery out, no problem. Still didn't start. He had no idea what was going on. I was like, damn, I had to get towed to my house later that day. And then mechanic at the shop told me that it was the bulbs that were burnt out, and that was going to cost a couple hundreds of dollars to get fixed. I had to go to the dealership. Get the receipt.
Good times.
I didn't want to complain about this guy because he was just a really nice guy. My family was like, you really have to because I was broke college kid. I had to get the receipt, go to the manager, and I really begged this guy not to get this guy in trouble. And he said that you know what, he should know what he was doing, and we had to let him go. And I felt horrible because this guy was so sweet, but it just cost me so much money.
It's more like an overreaction.
yeah, pretty much.
Allie, how long were you sitting on that?
The whole time. Yeah.
The minute we picked up Anthony's call. So you got him fired. Boy, I don't know. I mean, I know why you felt bad about it, because the guy, I mean, the guy, he just made a mistake. It's not like he was trying to screw you over or anything like that. I do feel like that was an overreaction. Yeah. But from O'Reilly's, I feel like they should have cut the guy a break.
Yeah, absolutely. They're usually pretty good about that, but I mean, it just cost me so much money.
You're usually pretty good about that.
The first eight times I complained about a guy.
I had 10 guys fired. And...
Thank you for the call, Anthony. We appreciate it. Let's go to James in Torrance. He's up next, line 7. James, welcome to the Kevin DeBeat Show. What's your story?
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
How we doing?
Good, thank you.
Good. So it was early 90s. I think I was 7, 8 years old, and my mom dropped me off to go get my haircut. And I had talked the hairdresser into actually shaving a slit in my eyebrow.
Little Vanilla Icy.
I love it. Continue.
I was such a huge fan of Vanilla Ice or Dylan McKay from Nano 210.
That's what I
wanted.
Yeah.
Right? So my mom came in to pick me up, saw what I had, and I was super proud of it. She berated the hairdresser.
What?
The manager came to the front and wanted to know what the problem was. Told the manager what the issue really was, and the woman got fired for taking direction from a 7 or 8 year old.
Oh, no.
He was just trying to keep the customer satisfied.
Doing what the customer asked.
And it was on trend.
Yes. Customer's always right.
What? Your mom needs to be fired.
I thought she was cooler than that.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 7:53.
I know that I'm already moving out of America by the end of the year, but it can't come fast enough. Now that I see that people are calling for a dodgeball ban.
What?
Now that I see like they're trying to take away our dodgeball, Kevin, what happened to the country you and I once loved?
They can take dodgeball from my cold, dead hands.
Right? Apparently they say it's bad for kids and their self-esteem.
We're raising a bunch of cucks.
Snowflakes.
So we will
spell
discuss.
Spell that, Allie, please.
With a U.
Thank
with
you.
A U. Yeah. Okay. We will discuss the potential dodgeball ban that is upon us. Thanks, Obama. Coming up right after the top of the hour. First, Allie's got what's happening, and she comes with a freebie.
I sure do. I mean, after that dodgeball news, you need something to look forward to. Like Fluffy performing at Staples Center December 27th. Or maybe you're in the OC. You'd like to see him at Honda Center December 28th. Well, if you are caller 20 right now at 1-800-520-1067, you are going to get a pair of tickets to the Gabriel Iglesias Beyond Fluffy World Tour.
Me like it.
And you get to choose the date and the show. Staples Center, the 27th of December.
Can I choose any date that I want to go with?
I'm telling you, well, yes. Yeah, I'm going to give you 2 tickets, so you can pick whoever you want to go.
October 2nd.
No. I'm saying a date, like you could bring someone. But
there are only... January 19th.
Oh, you want next year?
Again, only 2 dates.
Because I'm booked pretty much this year.
Staples Center, December 27th, or Honda Center, December
28th. He's got to do a weekend for us because of our job. We wake up early.
You don't get to choose when he performs.
The first three Saturdays in January, I'm available.
Good.
Okay.
And I was asking if I could choose the date, though. Like, can I say Alison Brie?
Oh,
and she has to go with
me. Is
that
what you meant?
That's what I meant, yeah.
Oh, I'd say Obama. I'd love to.
You're not allowed to use that language?
Can I not say that word?
No.
Oh.
That just got changed, but the F word is no longer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. I love it!
Anyway, caller 20, 1-800-520-1067.
I thought she was cooler than that.
Was that the greatest ending to a call in a while?
That was.
Oh, I loved it.
Very sweet, sir.
Guys, I did not see this coming. Lindsay Lohan's MTV reality show, Lindsay Lohan's Beach Club, will not be back for a second season.
Are you kidding
me? So many unanswered mysteries.
So wrapped up in that show.
And it seems that they're closing down the nightclub.
Oh.
So nothing about this is really good.
They're selling the property.
Yeah. Sources are saying the show didn't have enough drama. They wanted breakdowns, and that's not where Lohan is at in her life anymore.
Sure.
What? Yeah.
It's just lit.
Just not great.
This was a success.
It wasn't a success,
not really
man.
At all. It was more of a failure.
Yeah, not good. You guys hear about this James Corden news? It was in the Daily Mail. Apparently, he was on a podcast, and he was talking about life in America and that he isn't sure how much longer he's going to continue to host the Late Late Show.
Whoa.
With a year remaining on his current contract, he was saying, and I quote, "I don't know. I imagine I'll stay doing it for a little while, I think. That's my hunch." But then he talked about all the things that he misses. And he talked about, you know, people that he misses and loves in England. Mm-hmm. Talks about he misses the muscles that I enjoy using from time to time, which I assumed meant acting, you know, whether it's doing big shows, that type of things. Things that you can't really do with the schedule that he has.
Right.
But he said, we'll see, really. I don't know. We'll sort of cross or burn that bridge when we get to it, you know?
I mean, look, imagine if you took a job. It was a great job, so you felt it was worth moving your family to another country. Mm-hmm. After a while, you might go, I miss my home.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. I get that. Absolutely. Yeah, he's been doing it since March of 2015, after mm-hmm. Craig Ferguson.
And he had a huge career in Britain that most people remember. Most of us didn't even know who James Corden was when he got that late night position.
We're like, Who's this dude? He loves the theater, and
he loves the theater.
A Daily Show doesn't necessarily let you do that.
And I think
he is in the Cats movie, though. At least he's getting a little bit of acting in.
Yeah. Yeah. And then when they announced that he was going to do a Christmas special, the Gavin and Stacey show, that was huge in the UK, and people were so pumped to see that, I think maybe that made him go,
I missed there.
And he takes these vacations, you know, like he gets a couple weeks a year. And during those weeks, he just works on other things. So he doesn't really actually get a vacation. Like he does a show in the UK called A League of Their Own, which is like a sports show.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's like, that's what he does during his vacations. And I'm always like, that sucks.
Yeah.
He's working hard. I think he's real good on his TV show.
I do too.
So I think we would be worse for it if we lost him.
Mm-hmm. He's not going to die.
Rest in peace, James.
Yeah. He would just leave the country.
We'd miss him on TV is what I mean.
Okay.
Never forget you, James.
No, again, very much alive. Guys.
He was so young.
He was. He's a good dude.
But his impact was huge.
And he wasn't even... No one knew he was sick.
Right.
He's not sick. He's just thinking maybe he won't host the show anymore.
Sometimes a star just shines too brightly and it just burns itself out.
You're right. He's dead.
I thought he was cooler than that.
I thought he was cooler than that, too. I've discussed how about a month ago I went to a show at the Greek Theater. Just kidding. Hollywood Bowl. New Kids on the Block, Salt and Pepper, Debbie Gibson, Tiffany, Naughty by Nature. And the nostalgia factor was real. Like, I realized that people just want to go back to a time where things might have been a little easier in their lives. Like, I looked around and I was like, there's a lot of moms right now living their best life. And it was just awesome to see. So nostalgia is real. We know that. We know that because of the reaction to Limp Bizkit when they played.
Sure.
Weenie Roast. Mm-hmm. People lost it. And it was a good time for them to come back. Right?
Agreed. Yeah.
But with nostalgia, there has to be a certain amount of time that has passed. And you probably should have been a huge hit at the time.
Sure.
For it to warrant coming back.
Warrant's coming back?
Oh, no, he's dead, actually. That's one person that is actually dead.
Shoot.
O-Town is going to hit the road with their Pop 2000 tour. O-Town.
Is this related to the story that you just set up?
This is a group originally formed in 2000 for the first season of MTV's Making the Band. I think they had like one song that people were like, okay, cool, O-Town. But at least
that song's called Liquid Dreams.
There it is.
How do I know that?
I don't know.
I don't know.
At least they're bringing along such acts as Aaron Carter, Ryan Cabrera, and Tyler Hilton. And the tour is going to be hosted by Lance Bass of NSYNC. Wait, what?
Nope.
The tour is going to be hosted.
None of this makes a lot of sense to me. They were not big for me.
The draw is Lance Bass. That's the only reason people would go. And he goes like envelope openings.
Yeah. So this is, I don't know if the nostalgia is quite there for O-Town.
I'm going to say no.
But we'll see.
I think O-Town was like a fifth Xerox copy of the Backstreet Boys, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. They were, I think,
like if 98 Degrees was way too popular for you, you went with O-Town.
Yeah. If you were looking for obscurity in your boy bands, O-Town was for you.
I'm just saying, I don't know if the nostalgia factor will be there for them.
I think I'm with you on that.
Okay. Yeah. Let's talk about some birthdays. Felicia Rashad, Paula Abdul, Hugh Dancy, Zoe Saldana, Paul Dano, and Macklemore.
You guys beat Rannigan yesterday.
No. Speak up.
Bean ran again yesterday.
Ooh, so did I.
What? That was the idea. If we're
of course
training,
that was the idea.
For training for a marathon, I thought we were supposed to get in shape and start running.
Right.
I went the same 2 miles
pretty good.
That I went a couple of days ago. And I have to tell you, I don't think running's for me.
Oh, no. That fast, huh?
I have to tell you.
I have
muscles hurting where I did not realize I had muscles.
But you get past
it
that.
It goes away, yeah.
You get past that quickly.
Particularly in the front of my legs, the front of my top legs. What's sure. that called?
It's not called the thigh.
The thigh? Quad. But it's the top part, though. I mean, the front part. Is that still a thigh?
Yeah, sure.
That
what is
hurts.
The thigh.
And the top of my, you know, like the ankle and the top of my feet hurt, too.
Right, but if you run, like, say, 2 more times, that goes away.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I kept waiting for that moment where they go, oh, it hurts, but it's a good hurt. You know, like it's a hurt you feel good about when you've worked some muscles and stuff like that. I'm not feeling that yet.
I don't
yet.
Think you've worked enough to get to that point.
I like that you said he ran 2 days in a row. No, he took an off day to eat a burrito.
Mm-hmm. Well...
In the middle of that, so.
Well, I don't want to overextend myself.
Sure,
you know, you know, you can get hurt and die if you run 2 days in a row. You know that.
I've right? never heard no, that. So. Oh, yeah. I'll take your word for it as a runner.
Oh, yeah.
How's the blister, though?
I covered it up nicely with a Band-Aid, and it was fine. I had no problem
Excellent.
With the great. Blister at all. Yeah. How about you, Jensen?
It was great. I did a little bit more than the run before, so I think I got about 3 miles out.
Mm. All right.
I was very excited.
Wow.
Would you consider yourself? Is it for you?
I love running.
Right.
It's extremely therapeutic for me.
So, Bean, is this a final answer for you? Because I feel like
no, I'm going
to need some commitment here.
I know. We need to, because I don't want to waste everybody's time if we're actually not going to end up running a race. But I'm not there. I'm not willing to commit to it yet. I think I need to give it a couple more times.
Okay.
I do.
All right.
But we'll keep you posted on that. I haven't seen it yet, but there is a huge viral video going on right now with millions of views. It's from James Corden. He put together an all-star dodgeball game with an all-female American team and an all-British male team. And they played good old-fashioned dodgeball. And Michelle Obama was the leader of the American team.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because dodgeball is in the news. There is now a movement afoot among some in this country to ban dodgeball.
What?
To ban it because it's not good for kids because it's bullying, Kevin. Dodgeball, and isn't dodgeball officially your favorite sport to play?
I mean, it's pretty far up there.
I mean, you love dodgeball
rules,
right?
Yes.
So let's hear a little bit about the Corden thing, which is very funny if you have a chance to watch the whole video, and then we'll get into the discussion about whether dodgeball needs to be banned. It starts with Michelle Obama.
This team is going to eat them for breakfast. For breakfast.
Michelle Obama trash talks before a hilarious celebrity dodgeball game on the Late Late Show Monday.
I forgot to warn you, by the way, this is from Inside Edition, the worst entertainment news show in the history of television.
All right.
She led a team of USA stars, including Allison Janney, Mila Kunis, Melissa McCarthy, and Kate Hudson. They played against James Corden's team of British celebs.
When they go low, we also go low.
See, because that's how dodgeball works.
That's funny.
And when she took aim at Harry Styles,
Obama winds up and boom, right in the 1D.
Okay, so.
Oh no, in the groin.
Harry Styles gets whacked by this dodgeball right in the nuts.
Oh no.
How do we feel about the announcer referring to, is it right in the 1D? Is it clever? We give him a pass on that?
Yeah, One Direction and 1D for,
I don't hate it.
For you okay. know that
you'll,
word.
You'll allow it, okay.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
The shot heard around the world.
There was only one direction that ball was going.
Oh,
you
no.
can go straight
it.
To hell.
All right, so
it.
We've now we're over him.
We
right?
turned on him.
Yes. Okay.
It was all good knee slapping fun.
Let's go.
Dodgeball is one of the fastest growing sports for adults. With
now, are you guys surprised by that?
One of the fastest growing sports by adults
for adults.
Yeah,
no.
That's a little shocking.
It doesn't surprise me. There's so many dodgeball leagues.
There are tons.
Yeah.
Dodgeball making a comeback.
Yeah.
Okay, but not everyone's happy about it.
With leagues springing up across America.
It's built a lot of confidence and courage to be at the front lines, being active in the sport.
But the way dodgeball is played in schools and summer camps is coming under fire.
Okay, here we go, Uh-oh. You guys. You ready for the blowback?
So it's kind of ballsy to call it on the front lines.
All right, here we go. Here's somebody who's going to rain on our dodgeball parade.
New research claims dodgeball teaches children to bully other kids. Now there are calls for it to be banned in middle schools.
We're asking kids to hit other kids with an object, and that's no longer appropriate. We don't use kids as human targets anymore.
Former gym teacher Judy Lobianco says dodgeball teaches all the wrong lessons.
The aggressors are going after kids who are now made to feel weak and afraid. And the last thing we want kids to feel in school is weak and afraid.
Any thoughts on her point?
I don't know. It's hard for me to see it as anything except for you laugh and have a great time.
Is it
you get hit, you're fine.
You're out, right.
Yeah, you're fine.
But is it the small kids or the unathletic kids or the shy kids? Are they the ones who traditionally are the targets, the first hit,
yeah, but
first out?
Getting rid of dodgeball is not going to make their life any easier.
Yeah, they're not going to grow or become cool.
Yeah. They weren't aiming for
might as well take them out early.
They
right?
weren't aiming for my acne. You know what I mean?
But I mean, is it – I guess the point is, look, I'm not sure I agree with this lady. I'm just playing devil's advocate here. I guess my point is it making their day worse because now they've already got all these issues and then they go to PE or recess and the next thing they know they got somebody intentionally targeting them, throwing a big fat ball at them.
Now the ball's fat. Wow. Now you're going to fat shame the ball.
That's what you're doing.
Is there anything to the point or is this lady just overreacting?
I mean, I would say you should be able to opt out of it and do anything else. As yeah. long as that's, then she's, then this is idiotic.
Yeah.
If you have to play it and you don't want to, mm-hmm. I guess there's something there.
I don't know. There was always that buff kid in my PE class who would do like 150 push-ups and then I'd go and do 12.
Sure.
Like, that's the same feeling, man. You're not, I mean, PE sucks. Like,
it does, yeah.
It's not,
else you do is going to make you feel great.
Yeah, there's no replacement. You know what I mean? You only do that dance week once. Yeah. Do you remember that?
If you're the first kid hit and the first kid out in dodgeball, you're still not going to be able to climb the rope.
No.
I mean, there's nothing's going to help you.
But that actually at least feels good.
Yeah. All right, a little more.
Then you've got to learn the 5 D's of dodgeball.
Here it is from the movie, you guys. Mm-hmm.
All right.
From the movie.
Dodge, duck, dip, dive, and dodge.
The goofball comedy Dodgeball poked fun at the game's violent image. But players say it's not really like that.
You have a community, and it's the most inclusive thing I've ever been a part of.
Ari Goldberg runs the New York City Dodgeball League.
There you go, Allie, the New York City Dodgeball League.
All right.
Apparently it's a big deal.
And let's be honest.
The problem
is, yeah?
Jews are the ones that are really taking off in this sport. Ari Goldberg. Look at all the athletes. Like, usually Jewish men are like, we're not athletic, right, Jensen?
Allie, really digging it deeper here.
Let her talk.
We were talking about Jewish athletes a couple days ago on the air.
Could have really just ended with one sentence.
Two pieces of news, neither are great, I'm going to be honest. I don't mean to.
Sabine rolls right here.
Mm-hmm. Well, I should say that Taco Bell, a fine sponsor of the world famous K Rock.
Yep.
Okay, is a phenomenal.
Nope.
Being told
restaurant.
Nope.
Mm-mm.
Oh. Well, it doesn't
so
matter.
Can say whatever you want. We only take money from very good places like Del Taco.
Oh, we love Del Taco. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I don't have any problem with Taco Bell. I think they're a national treasure. Forgive me. I think they're an international treasure. I don't eat there. I haven't eaten there in years. But
I eat there a lot.
I thought you did. I thought this was your place. Yeah. Now, are you familiar with the Meximelt?
Yes.
The Meximelt apparently has just been discontinued by Taco Bell, I'm being told. There's a friend of a friend of mine last night online, devastated, trying to start a Save the Meximelt campaign. Here's what he said. Always stayed true to itself. Wasn't trying to win you over by wrapping itself in a spicy Dorito or making itself into fries. It was just beef, fiesta salsa, and a melted cheese blend grilled to perfection. I guess it was too pure for this world. Now, is the Meximelt in your rotation, Kevin?
Yeah, it's good.
What?
It's good.
What happened?
It's just kind of like a quesadilla, right?
You're asking me, a guy who buys it occasionally, what happened?
Well, I'm just asking you to...
I don't
to
know.
Take an educated guess.
They weren't selling enough or they were too expensive?
But it sounds perfect.
Well, I'm sure they're not canceling it because it's perfect.
I don't know.
So we could probably rule that out.
Are you sure?
Too pure for this world?
Yes.
Damn.
Pure for this world.
That's why.
I don't understand how something that's perfect can be canceled.
Right.
Okay, that's thing one.
Canceled.
Thing two. His last words were, if I can open it up, then it will be magic. But if I can't, it will be tragic.
Oh, no.
This is an Indian magician known as the Wizard Mandrake, who was doing one of these stunts where you get tied up with steel chains and rope, and then you get lowered into the water, and then you unlock yourself, and you swim to the surface. Until you don't. He was down there, and they, I guess they finally sent somebody in to look for his body after 30 minutes.
20, they're like, you know what? He's good. Let's give him a little time.
I swear he's coming back. Out.
He's going to get through.
30 minutes he was down there. I feel like there should have been, I don't know if this had been in America, I feel like there would have been some sort of safety protocol, some sort of stunt coordinator or an assistant or somebody who would have known.
I would assume that conversation is one that's had before they do the stunt.
And I read this too. Aren't these fake?
What do you mean, aren't they fake?
Like, don't they really know they're going to get out?
Well, I mean, this guy had done it multiple times before. I assume that they have a key under their tongue.
Yeah, that's
or something.
What I mean. Yeah, like, yeah, I thought it was like a rigged thing.
He's really bad at it then.
No, it's a magic trick, Jensen.
Oh, yeah. Swallow the key. What am I supposed to do now?
Got to wait to poop it out.
30 minutes.
Going to be a long wait. I mean, this is how magic tricks works, is there's supposed to be something that they're able to access that you don't know about, some way to get out of the steel chains and the rope.
Yeah.
It's not real magic. You know that, right?
That's what I mean.
I mean, I think that's what he started with.
I'm referencing the idea that shouldn't this always be, like, he should get out always. That's
always,
what magic
right.
is. Like, yes. You're supposed to be, I'm a mark. You're supposed to be, like, faking me out.
I think right. what we're saying is the magician should know how to get out of it.
Absolutely.
Is what we're saying, Jensen.
If he can open it up, it will be magic. But if he can't, it will be tragic. So his body was found eventually about 2 kilometers away from
the location.
He's
alive. He did it.
Yeah.
He did
not.
Wow,
it's a miracle.
Oh, good for him.
Magic is great.
He's not alive.
Oh,
last thing he heard was about the Mexi-Melt, though, and that's probably why he didn't even try that hard.
You know, I'm not even going to try and free myself.
You know what? I know where the key is. I'm going to forget about it. I'm just going to live down here now.
The body was identified by his brother. They have launched an investigation into how the accident occurred.
Well, we figured it out. He's a bad magician.
I think it's fairly obvious how it occurred. He had performed a similar stunt 21 years ago at the same location when he got inside a bulletproof glass box tied with a chain and locks and dropped down from a bridge. In that, and by the way, I don't know why the glass box had to be bulletproof, because he's, you know, underwater. I mean, I don't know who's coming out.
Yeah.
But he came out within 29 seconds that time.
Mm.
Now, here's the most 30 minutes versus 29 seconds. Big difference. Here's my favorite paragraph of the whole thing. And this is why you mock the late magician, the Mandrake Wizard. But he also attempted a similar stunt on the river in 2013, but drew scorn from onlookers after he was seen escaping from a locked cage through a door.
Yeah.
So they were ticked off that they saw how the trick was done, and he was reportedly beaten and punched by spectators following the incident.
They take their magic seriously.
No wonder he was so—he was really trying magic now.
I better do it for real.
That's like, I'm going to stay one more minute. Okay, one more minute. Okay. Oh,
I'll show them.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Or Conspiracy Alley.
Ooh.
Maybe the people in the town got together and rigged it and said, if he's really a magician, we can rig it and he'll get out.
Boom.
Yeah.
So, like,
interesting. Yeah.
Technically, like, murderers.
Murder.
Oh, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Like they put a different lock on it or something like
that.
You didn't have the key.
Yes.
I don't know what's going on where you blow the hang on, Linus. You blow the magic trick and then they beat you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is there some type of magic trick that can make Linus shut the F up?
As soon as I bring him downstairs, he'll go right to sleep. But I left him in bed this morning. Anyway, that's all I got. Sorry about the magician. Sorry about the Mexi-Melt.
Hmm. Which are you more sorry about?
I mean, I think
the Mexi-Melt.
I feel like we're all okay.
Yeah.
Although I just like the Mexi-Melt. Shia LaBeouf will be joining us just after the top of the hour.
Actual cannibal.
Yep.
He is a fun guy. I hope he already ate before he got here.
He's
so he didn't
not
look at us funny.
Actual cannibal Shia LaBeouf. I think that was just a song.
The words are actual cannibal.
Right, right.
He has an event coming up.
Cannibal Shia LaBeouf.
And they sing them.
Yeah, it does. So, it means more when you sing it.
Okay,
let's
give
it one more try. Let's get back in the groove.
Right.
He has an event coming up, not this weekend, but next weekend. That sounds super fun with a lot of great acts and a chance to hang out with Shia LaBeouf. So we'll talk all about that just after the top of the hour, plus more Disneyland tickets that you can win coming up. And Allie's got what's happening.
What's going on?
Well, on Monday, I told you about Bella Thorne wound up tweeting out pictures that she was basically being blackmailed by a guy saying, I'm going to show these pictures from you. I hacked you. And she's like, here's the thing. I'm going to show them myself. Wound up posting them and saying, I'm taking the power back from you. Blah, blah, blah. Well,
and I support it. I'd like to go on record as saying I was there first. I was there early. I was saying
you were there often.
Any hot actress who thinks she's doing the right thing by posting her nudes online should.
Yeah, you did also just say hot actresses. You definitely didn't just say just anyone that's hacked.
Any person, yes, of course, that's what I said. That's any person. Yeah. Any person, yeah. Don't be blackmailed. Go ahead and just put them out there yourself.
No, you definitely said any hot actress.
We'll have to agree to disagree. But what's the point about that?
All right. The point of this is now I didn't think that that post was going to ignite the firestorm that it did. It all went down yesterday when they discussed it on The View, and Whoopi Goldberg had some serious thoughts about why she shouldn't have put those pictures out in the first place.
Listen, if you're famous, I don't care how old you are, you don't take nude pictures of yourself
because...
But
she only wants to share with one person.
But she said, listen, when they're hacking you, they're hacking all of your stuff. So whether it's one picture or a million pictures, once you take that picture, it goes into the cloud, and it's available to any hacker who wants it. And if you don't know that in 2019, that this is an issue... You, I'm sorry, your age does not, you don't get to do that.
To which Meghan McCain said, the only reason I didn't put naked pictures in my phone is because my family's in politics. And I thought, well, thank God that your family is in politics, Meghan. That was the only reason. Oh, Meghan McCain.
Are you fat-shaming Meghan McCain?
No,
right now?
I'm not. I'm saying she also took a moment to let us know again that her family's in politics. We get it. Your father's John McCain. You say it every goddamn day. But this didn't sit well with Bella Thorne, and she took to Instagram, very emotional, sobbing, crying.
I'm not going to lie. I want to say that I feel pretty disgusting. You know, I feel pretty disgusting, Whoopi, knowing everyone's seen, like, you know, my... And I just want to say that me watching this interview made me feel really bad about myself. And I hope you're happy. I really do. I really hope you're so f***ing happy. Because I can only imagine all of the kids who have their shit released and then they commit suicide. And, you know, you're so crazy for thinking such terrible things on such an awful situation. Like... You know, I don't really want to go on The View anymore because I don't really want to be beaten down by a bunch of older women for my body and my sexuality. I don't really feel like that. And so I'm going to cancel my interview because I don't really want you guys talking about your views to young girls because I would not want my daughter to learn that and I would never.
She doesn't want them talking about their views.
On The View.
On The View.
Right.
Yeah. Stop making my sons horny.
She is understandably upset because she already went through something traumatic with the blackmail, and then she tried to get ahead of it, and now she's being criticized all over again.
Bean is all about Bella Thorne.
Yeah, well, no, here's my thing. Both sides are right in this case. Whoopi is right. You have to understand that there is a risk that you're going to get hacked, especially if you're a famous person. You have a target on your back, especially if you're an attractive young actress. You have a target on your back. You have to know that that's a possibility. But... I also felt like there was a sense of Whoopi kind of looking down on her and shaming her for being able to do something that she ought to be able to do as a private person, which is take a naked photo for her boyfriend if that's what she wants to do. There's nothing wrong with that,
but Whoopi,
is what I'm saying.
Yeah, Whoopi should have focused a little more on the technology because that does have a point, which is like when you use your phone nowadays, if that's what you use to take a nude picture, you are putting yourself in the line of fire.
Understand how everything works.
Yeah.
It would have behooved Whoopi also to say, listen, you are the victim here.
Yeah,
Let's get at the forefront of that. And this guy that hacked you, we should be coming down on him harder
exactly
than we are on
Bella. I would feel a lot better about this if that had been the case, but I feel like she was going real hard on Bella, and it wasn't entirely Bella's fault. She is the victim here, and I don't think the answer is for old people to look down on young people and say don't take naked pictures, because that's what people do right now, and they have every right to do that. You know what I mean?
Bean is really, really pro-naked pictures.
Thanks, funny little grandpa.
This is decades past affecting me, okay? So this doesn't have to do with me. But I'm just saying that young people shouldn't be shamed because they feel like taking naked pictures. That's all I'm saying. But Whoopi does make a point about the technology, and obviously Bella has learned that lesson as well. But I'm sad to hear her so sad.
I'm going to lick you.
Again, sir. Wow. Not sure why you're saying that. Listen, it's continuing now. Who knows if she'll go on the show and confront Whoopi? We don't know. But
she did not sound good in that video, man. She sounded like it was hitting her at the hardest when she sat down to record that thing.
Yeah.
Like she was a little bit of a mess.
You're trying to maybe go help her out?
Now you're shaming her reaction? Is that what you're doing?
I'm whooping her right now.
Okay. All right.
Excellent.
This took a lot of turns, you
I mean,
guys.
She really shouldn't be making those videos on Instagram is what I'm saying. Complaining about people complaining about the videos that she posted.
Well, people having the view on the views.
Right.
This is Inception. Yeah. I just don't even know what's happening anymore.
Close it down.
All right, guys. The lineup for season 11 of Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee is out. It debuts on July 19th on Netflix. I'll say it again. It's such a good show. I've loved it since season one with Carl Reiner and Mel Brooks. It's what started my dream of wanting to hang out with those two, watch Jeopardy, and have soup.
It's a hell of a dream, by the way.
I have to ask about this new lineup.
Mm-hmm. Is it Dick?
It is not. It is Eddie Murphy. Which, right there, you could say, shut it down. That's enough
when
for a
was
whole
the last,
season.
When was the last time he did an interview?
I can't remember.
I don't even remember.
That's SNL, I think, is the last time we've seen him, where he just, like, didn't make a joke.
Yeah, he didn't even try to be funny.
No, I think that's the last time we've seen him in, like, a big TV show. Yeah.
Well, he does have, like, 11 children, so he may be busy.
He's busy, yeah. So, Eddie Murphy, Seth Rogen, Ricky Gervais, Matthew Broderick, Jamie Foxx, Sebastian Maniscalco, Martin Short, Mario Joyner, Melissa Villaseñor, Bridget Everett, and Barry Martyr. I mean, okay, Jerry. All right.
What about...
I guess that's all right.
What about...
Debbie?
Debbie didn't make it on this season, but maybe season 12.
Bummer.
I'm really excited about that.
It's a fun show.
It really is. Not only, if you're into comedy, it's going to be great. You're going to love it because he goes deep with some people. It's wonderful. If you like cars, he picks a specific car to show up at the person's house in that he thinks kind of fits the person's personality. And then you get to see all different places in LA, in New York, wherever they're filming that you might not know about. It is just... Jerry, I love your show.
I want to go on record as saying that if you watch Comedians in Cars for the Cars, you're a weirdo.
Oh, see, I love that. I love that part where he talks about the cars at the beginning.
I think it's so
and then,
weird.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
See, I'm a car person. I was raised by my dad as like a car head. Like we would be driving and he's like, what car is that? And I'm like, it's a 56 Chevy. How do you know? Because that's you put the gas in the bag where the light flips off.
Wow.
I love old cars and those are the cars he's driving up. Really? You find that weird?
I think it's like Jerry Seinfeld being a rich dude and being unrelatable when he's like, this is a Jag that I bought. I don't know.
Just but always... he also explains why he picked it for that person.
I guess.
Which I think is also funny because the car he picked for Amy Schumer broke down 3 times. And she's like, really? With this car? How rude. All right, well.
Anyway, just put my feelings out there.
All right. I mean, it's mean.
And he's not always bragging. Like he showed up at one of them in a VW The Thing. He just goes for interesting cars, too.
Maybe you need to stop rich shaming Jerry Seinfeld.
Seriously. I just think the cars.
What are you on The View?
Right?
Shut up, Whoopi.
If you actually watch the show and like coffee, I mean, what are you doing? Yeah. Shut up.
You should watch it for the coffee.
Shut up. Jensen.
Oh, I don't know. The jokes are funny, but I watch it for the coffee.
That coffee looks good.
Oh, they use some great beans. My dad used to tell me about beans.
So. You hate everything about Jerry Seinfeld.
No, I actually love
you
Jerry
hate
Seinfeld.
Jerry Seinfeld. That was Jensen Karp. Everybody.
I'll tell you what I am impressed with him though is he doesn't like he's very generous. He doesn't make people feel like they're not funny. He lets them be funny, and I think that's really great.
I watch it for the roads because
you get to see a lot of the city.
You do roads though, like the way that they work on it in different cities, like more asphalt or whatever, more lines.
Yeah. Speaking of ass, some birthdays for you: Macklemore, Paul Dano, Zoe Saldana, Hugh Dancy, Felicia Rashad.
You got it.
And Paula Abdul.
Remember Paula Abdul?
I'm sorry, sir. If you could repeat that.
Remember Paula Abdul?
She was plural in the day.
One more more time. One more.
I'm sorry. That's it. That's all I got.
Oh. About a week ago, a little more, we saw a video pop up online from our friend Shia LaBeouf on his 33rd birthday. Hey. And he was wearing an adorable birthday cap, by the way, and was making an announcement about a very cool event happening in Southern California. So we thought we'd reach out to Shia, see if we could get him to come in on the show and talk about it, along with the co-founder of Slauson Rec. Here is Shia and Bobby Soto.
Hey, you guys. Hey, now.
Thank you for having us up here.
Welcome, always. It's our pleasure. Hey, Bobby, how are you, man?
Hey, thank you. I'm good. Thank you.
It's always great to catch up with you, Shia, because you are never boring. You always have a lot of interesting things going on. And I would imagine with all the other stuff you do, the last thing I would expect you to do would be to co-found an organization like this, this Slauson Rec. What's it all about? What's the backstory?
So what it's about is we're trying to make theater vital again, right? We're trying to have kids line up for theater. That's kind of dead in this country and quite old and white and retired and not really speaking any current topics at all. And there used to be a time around the turn of the 20th century where theater was seen as like a very vital part of society. And
it was out in front.
Yeah, it was out in front, yeah. For sure. I mean, to the point where if you were a widow, let's say, you know, they built theaters around how vital it was. If you were a widow, it was very uncouth to go out in public for a year after your husband died. And so the theaters of the time used to build these things, these wings with these grills where widows could go and be a part of society and be able to view theater and be connected to the streets, essentially, without being viewed. So theater was always a way of bridging the gap during times of strife. So stepping back a little bit, just to give you some context, obviously, in my life, there's never been more strife in the streets since I've been alive, and theater has never been more deceased. Some backstory.
Let me interrupt one second to say something we've said on this show many times before, is that there is great theater being made, but it's few and far between. It's hard to find. Most people don't ever hear about it. And when people are thinking about, hey, what am I going to do this weekend? They're thinking about going to the movies. They're thinking about going to a concert. Thinking about going to a comedy show or something like that. Theater isn't even on the forefront of their brain anymore.
Right.
You're right. It's kind of a dying art outside of those big money shows on Broadway.
Right. And Wicked is not really speaking to a damn thing going on, really. Hamilton is a rap musical about an old white guy. It's these things are quite ridiculous. So anyway, within the context of that, I'm making a movie called Tax Collector. Bobby is the star of that movie. He plays my boss. We're living in the same house for a few months, getting really close with each other, getting to know each other, befriending each other, falling in love. I'm driving him to work every day in this Impala. We're having these wild discussions. Mm-hmm. And part of the discussions are, hey, man, what were your dreams as a kid? What do you want to do in the future? What are we going to do when we get off this show? So we wound up clicking real hard. And Bobby told me about this dream he had to open this theater in South Central. And you want to start speaking on that?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in South Central, so around there, there's no arts program. So the easiest way of getting into a place where there's any kind of theater, any kind of acting, or any kind of art, it's like you got to take a metro, two metros and four buses, and you got to walk a mile or something.
Right.
And if your parents are even willing to take you there, too, you know, that's another factor with a lot of parents don't have the time nor the means to even get out there to do something different. So in growing up as a teenager, I wanted to bring something back to my neighborhood. And you know, meeting Shia along the way of following my own dreams, we just talked about it, and then this was what happened.
Yeah.
A theater school is born.
Yeah.
I mean, there's more to it than that. We were filming in the Pueblos, which is a neighborhood you got to get a pass to walk around. We wound up getting this pass through this guy named Bowen Sloan and another guy named Bojangles, both Pueblos Bloods. They run the neighborhood. We got very close with them, and through me and Bobby talking in the car and then bringing those conversations to set around lunchtime, these dudes were like, hey, this is a perfect opportunity. You should bring this down there. We don't have any, there's no playground for this kind of stuff where we are. We just have a football field, but there's no playground, like an existential playground. You know, there's no room for people who are in extraordinary poverty and backs against the wall to have any kind of philosophical thought or, hey, this is how I'm feeling, or, hey, this is how I would exhibit it. And so in having these discussions, they introduced us to a woman named Nicole Griffin, who runs the Slauson Rec Center. She'd been giving us free rent for the last 10 months down there.
Wow.
What is the Sacred Spectacle, Shia?
Sacred Spectacle is a benefit concert so that we can get a van to transport people who ain't got no transportation to the rec center. We're trying to raise money to be able to bring it back to the neighborhood and invite more people into the rec center, have barbecues and whatnot, be able to fund the class going to these places. plays. They've never been to plays. So that stuff costs money. So we're trying to raise funds to be able to put on our first production, keep our project alive, bring people to plays, and get a van.
It's amazing, man.
Wow.
I mean, it really is so admirable. I mean, it's obviously, for both of you guys, it's a passion project. But, I mean, you have no idea how much this is going to change some people's lives who are going to be exposed to theater for the first time and will never forget it.
I'm praying for a movie poster that just says up top as the star, Bojangles.
It might be that way.
I really hope for that.
Yeah, it might be that way.
Listen to the lineup of this sacred
spectacle. How'd you get this crazy lineup? I can't even believe it.
YG, one of my favorite rappers in the world. Jaden Smith, Vic Mensa, who I love. How to Dress Well was incredible. Baths, I love so much. But even more important, just David Blaine in the middle of the lineup. Like, this is an eclectic lineup of music. Are these just dudes and women you like?
Well, it's people that we like, but it's also people who are with the vision. It's people who I reached out to on an email, and, you know, some I really knew really well, some I didn't know at all. Reached out to them with the mission statement, the vision, and some footage from our class, and they've basically all showed up. This is altruism at its finest. It's really people coming off tour and donating their time for free to be able to give back to the community. And it started with Jaden came in, then YG came in because of the neighborhood, and then everything sort of flowed out of that.
It's great.
So the event is on Saturday, June 29th,
yes,
from 7 to 1. You can go to eventbrite.com to get your tickets.
Yes.
And like you say, the goal is to raise enough money to continue to fund this thing, right? Not just to expose it, but to kind of get it up off the ground. Like you said, get transportation, get some money to be able to work with, to what? Put on more plays in the community?
I mean, the wild thing is we started this 10 months ago, and it's become the biggest devised theater program in the country. Devised theater is different in that it's not like Eugene O'Neill in a closet writing a play and then bringing it to the theater and people enacting his vision. It's the actual players writing their own material. So usually these kind of programs are done with 10 to 12 people. We've been doing it with 250 people. So it's an experiment, one, but it's also been quite successful. And we have like really solid 10 minutes to show that's taken us 10 minutes to get to. But yeah, you can get tickets at sacredspectacle.eventbrite.com. On the 29th, we're putting on this benefit concert, showing a little bit of our stuff. And it should be a good night for a good thing.
Are you teaching acting as well, Shia?
No, man, no way. I'm so happy.
Why are you laughing at that? No, I think you have the most experience of anyone who's going to be down there.
I'm not a teacher at all. That's the beauty of this thing is there's no like hierarchy that way. There's no director. There's no writer. There's no actors. Everybody's considered a moment maker, and everybody's truth is as important as the next guy. So we really built like a team, and everything goes by vote. That's why it's taken us 10 months to build 10 minutes is... diplomacy and democracy takes a whole lot of time, you know, it's a very new thing for me, but it's a constant conversation. There is no leader or boss or anything like that. No.
I love the way you look at things, Shia.
Dude, I think Shia LaBeouf gets it. Like, that's what, I mean, it's like...
Sometimes.
I think he does.
Sometimes.
I want to be a moment maker. I've never been a moment maker.
You're invited, man.
All right. Give the web address again for people who want to go buy tickets or get more information.
You can get it at we're at slossandrec.com, on Twitter at slossandrec. You can get tickets at sacredspectacle.eventbrite.com.
Can people donate? Outside of that, like if they don't live in LA and they're listening to the podcast, they could donate through the website?
100%, yeah. We're also going to live stream the whole thing. There'll be a donation button on the live stream, but you can go to slossandrec.com and there's a contribute button underneath the link.
That's beautiful. Fantastic. All right, Shia LaBeouf is here along with Bobby Soto. The event again is on June 29th. Quick break, more with our guests right after this on cable. Shia LaBeouf and Bobby Soto in studio with us right now. They are actors and founders of Sloss and Rec. We just talked about a very cool event. We will post on all the Kevin and Bean social media if you want to check it out with some great music and acting and everything else going on. It seems like, Shia, in between your visits here, you're always involved in so many oddball things. And I feel like you don't plan any of this stuff. It just happens. Like you get an idea and just go for it.
Yeah, I lean into life. Yes, sir.
You don't have a life plan. I mean, you just wake up one day and say, oh, I know what I'm going to do, and then you just do it.
A lot of us have an idea, and then we judge it, and we go, no, that's stupid, and then we move on with our life. You just seem to say, I'm going to do it.
Well,
whatever's up next, I'm going.
Yeah, but not even like my ideas. Like, for instance, this thing came out of a collaboration with Bobby. Most of the stuff I do performance art-wise is a collaboration with other artists. I collaborate a lot. It's not like I'm just sitting in my room like Galileo dreaming up these things to do. You know, those times are gone. This is like I don't have a lot of friends. I'm a lonely guy. And my favorite way of making friends is through creating things.
But like when you sat in the movie theater and watched your own movies for 24 hours straight and live streamed it.
Yes.
Where does something like that come from, and why do you go, I need to do that?
He collaborates with some of the best performance artists in the world.
Right.
And the thing is, I mean, I guess I address it now.
Yeah, get it.
Well,
yeah.
I just wanted to hear about the movie thing first.
Yeah, so okay. The movie thing came out of, I mean, that actually was like the one you picked is like, that was my one idea, which came out of like, you know, we'll have these chop-up sessions where it's like, what's a really ironic thing that you can do in a very sincere way? And so I'll sit there and I go, well, I could have a film festival for myself. We'll giggle about it and then we'll lean into it really hard. So it winds up with like a, oh, that guy's a dick, but then it turns into something else. Like, a way towards sincerity is through irony, you know? It's through cat videos that you get to some kind of, like, explanation of life or some kind of
I've
epic
never
reach
gotten
for space.
To explanation of life.
You're watching the wrong cat video.
No way.
I feel that way.
Well, there is a connective tissue. Like, if you're able to say, hey, did you see that cat video? And the dude across from you who you don't know has also seen that cat video. That connection is that God reach that I'm talking about. This way of connecting with big, huge groups is this God thing I'm talking about, and it is through irony. You can't just hit people over the head with God. They won't listen to you. You can't hit people over the head with love. They won't listen to you. The way toward...
That's a word you really can't use anymore.
Sorry.
But I don't get the dick feeling when I'm watching the various art projects you've been involved in. I'm a guy who is putting something out there in the world for people to think about and discuss. Mm. That's what I get from you. I don't get that you're, hey, look at me, or anything like that. It always seems to be toward a greater cause. At least that's been my feeling when I watch you.
Yeah, but
you know, thing in New York where you were screaming about Donald Trump and stuff like that. I mean, it started a conversation. It wasn't just, hey, I'm Shia LaBeouf and I'm mad. It was, let's have a conversation about what all this means.
Yeah, I'm using my celebrity as cat videos. I'm using my celebrity as that connective tissue where we can actually have that discussion. That is what's going on. Yeah.
Okay. Now this is where Jensen comes in.
Okay. Now I address this because I'm not doing this because you're in the room. Okay. Which I think is going to come into play a little. Before I entered this radio show, I was an idiot comedian who thought that the Not Famous thing was dumb. Mm-hmm. And so,
explain what the Not Famous thing is.
He opened a art exhibit on Beverly where he would wear a paper bag over his head. People could come in and say whatever they want about him, which was in response to a plagiarism. I guess people saying that you plagiarized something.
I definitely did plagiarize Daniel Klaus, yes.
And people came in, they were able to say whatever they wanted to him.
Right.
And so I thought it would be funny to rent the space next door.
Whoa.
And do the same exact...
Did you know?
Well, this all ends good. This all ends good. Wow. And so I decided to open the exact same art exhibit next door to him with the same exact things in it. But when you got to the end of it, instead of Shia LaBeouf, it was Jerry O'Connell,
yes.
Which I thought was very funny, and we taped it, and I rented the space next door.
Oh, I have a story, but keep going.
What I wanted to say to Shia, and I've never, in any of my comedy of making fun of anyone, which I've done too many times in my life, have I ever regretted one. And only in this case have I, because I have been turned around a complete 180 about your art. Okay. Because at that time, I was like, this is BS. Dude's Whoa. Doing it for this. Because I'm in art myself.
Yes.
And I thought this was a stupid thing. Everything since then, I've been impressed by. I think everything you've done has been incredible and great. And as someone who made fun of it and dogged it so hard, I'm embarrassed by what I did. And so much so that I, today, am going to make a donation to Sacred Spectacle and everything in the name of my stupidity.
Hey, you touched me deeply, bro.
Is there an apology, Jensen?
I apologize greatly.
You don't need to. You touched me deeply, bro.
He's felt this for a long time.
Whoa, man.
And he's like, when very comes stupid.
Trip.
And so much so that every time another art exhibit pops up, I go, I was so dumb. Because even people like I know who you work with now. Like, I know that you have built this sort of body of work that's really impressive. And I don't think I saw the vision. And in time, obviously, you've had your bumps in the road and all those things. But the vision of your artistic ways and what you're doing here, all of it to me is much bigger than a stupid joke I made.
You touched me deeply. But also, let me apologize on air to Jerry.
Not either, Shia.
Can't say that.
Sorry.
So you tried to take it out on Jerry?
Yeah. I didn't take it out on him, but I saw him one time at a coffee shop and just kind of like, I like looked him in the left eye for like 45 seconds. Like, I'm going to suck your soul out of your face. But so Jerry O'Connell, big love, bro. I didn't know.
I really have. In the best way, from someone who thought it was funny by being a hater or whatever I was. Mm. Complete flip.
Whoa. Yeah. Hey, this is as big a moment as that. Hey,
for me as well.
Hey, thank you.
For me as well. It means a lot to me.
You guys should
thank
kiss.
You. Oh.
That's pretty good performance art if we
hey,
can.
Man.
But no, I appreciate what you're doing.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you there very you much. I appreciate yeah. you.
How much response do you get like Jensen's, which is what you're doing is crazy. I don't get it. I'm going to make fun of you. Yeah. I imagine you get a lot
it's
of
it's less
that.
Now, yeah. I would assume.
But that specifically, because it was the first time,
mm-hmm.
it hit. Because I was sleeping in that gallery,
right?
So I would wake up, and in my narcissistic scrolling of myself on the internet, I thought we were doing something cool, and then I saw Jerry O'Connell opened his thing up right next door, and I wanted to go across the hall and be like, my dude, what are you doing? Like, I'm fighting for my life right here. it hit me hard. I was in that room in a gallery. Just picture, I'm in a gallery by myself. The artists aren't even there. It's just me alone in a gallery with these paper bags and people playing music through the crack in the door of the floor because they would sleep outside with me. I remember him showing up and people telling me that he was showing up and me being really, it hurt. I remember it hurt. And then I developed like a callus towards that kind of stuff later.
So you had to learn how to deal with it because it just eats you up if you don't. Yeah,
well, I apologize for making you feel that way.
No, hey man, this is bigger than that. This is way bigger than that.
And
this
now
is supposed
to
happen.
You can watch Stand By Me again.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Excellent. We're all back.
Yeah. Shia, you stay so busy with all the various things that you got your fingers in. How much of you is still interested in acting? Because most actors, that's all they're obsessed with is acting and fame. That's all most actors care about. It seems like acting is a small part of your life.
No, I see they were throwing dirt on my back. Yeah. So I wasn't allowed to be the actor that I wanted to be for quite a while because my behavior was so cockeyed. So I've been sort of surviving in independent film for a long time while I tried to transition out of like Michael Bay blockbuster into meaningful work that sort of touched my sensibilities. For the last 5 years, I've been able to maintain like an output of films that I really respect and wanted to work on. The movie that me and Bobby made being one of them. But yeah, I've been really blessed in that. I've been able to work with filmmakers that share sensibilities with me on projects that I really care about and roles that I really wanted to do. And I'm trying to keep that trajectory alive and maybe move back into bigger filmmaking with the same sensibilities, like revisiting it kind of thing. But yeah, I'm still trudging. I'm still like a working actor. I still audition and things like that.
So you can still be satisfied. You still enjoy the work and your best movies are still to come.
This is my craft. Yeah. At my base level, at my core, I'm an actor and that's really what I'm about. I'm a hired gun.
What a fun time every time Shia comes by.
The best.
We really always enjoy you, man. You have such an interesting perspective. And Bobby, it's really nice to meet you. Hit one more time for people who want to come down and see you and see Jaden and see YG and David Blaine and all the rest the weekend after next.
SacredSpectacle.eventbrite.com, SlossandRec.com, @SlossandRec on Twitter. Thank you guys for having me.
JensenIsADick.com.
No,
it just went up.
It just went up.
It's all okay.
I have no control over
it. It's all okay.
That was beautiful, bro. Thank you for that.
Sounds like a great event. We'll definitely be checking it out. And you're going to be live streaming it too, which is the
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39.
Remember the Shia LaBeouf times, you guys?
Rules.
Those were fun.
Let's get to
it. I wanted to mention, we thought we were going to have Tony Hale on the show today, Forky himself from Toy Story 4, but unfortunately, Mr. Hale was under the weather and we are attempting to reschedule. So for people who are excited as we were to have Tony back on the show, we do hope to have him in the next few days because we love that dude. We can't wait. If you miss any part of the Kevin and Bean Show, we do have a podcast you can check out at radio.com because we're so good when you're not listening, man.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the best.
Plus Tony Hill and Freddie. You can download it today. And that's crazy.
It doesn't work. Allie's here with our final look at what's happening now on a Wednesday.
Well, what's happening is neon green fanny packs.
Sorry?
Right? Huh?
Neon green fanny packs. You think about the 80s. That's what you think of.
I thought it was only me.
You know what else you think about? The movie Twins. Remember that movie? Arnold Schwarzenegger,
yeah.
Danny DeVito.
And Danny DeVito,
they
yeah.
sure didn't look like
they
twins.
They didn't look like twins.
That was a title as a joke.
That was cuckoo.
That is funny.
I feel like since, thank you, sir, since that movie came out, they've been trying to remake that movie.
I'm fascinated by this.
Well, I'm telling you about it.
Does it say why they've been trying to remake that movie?
My sunglasses were damaged.
Because he wants to be able to afford new sunglasses, which were damaged on the set. A lot of people didn't know that. Very expensive. Because the movie was great. It really was.
Okay.
And if you can think of, like, stars now that would be wonderful in it, like maybe Aquaman star Jason Momoa.
Good for you.
Who revealed his love for twins at a panel discussion during Celebrity Fan Fest in San Antonio. And he would love to do the movie. And he'd love to do it with Peter Dinklage.
I'm in on that, too.
I'm so in. Yeah,
what's going on?
A fan asked if he would do it with his co-star from Game of Thrones, Peter Dinklage. And he said, effin', tell me where to sign. Absolutely. That'd be amazing. So, I mean, let's just put it out to the universe. It has to happen.
What a day.
I'm sorry?
What a day.
What a day, indeed.
It has been a day.
What was the... It's not the same movie. It's not twins. But what was the Siamese twin movie? Was that Greg Kinnear and Matt Damon? Maybe?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was originally a bad movie. One.
That was not a good movie.
No.
Right?
Two. Okay. But it was originally supposed to be Woody Allen. And,
what?
Yeah. It was supposed to be like Woody Allen and George Clooney originally.
That's very different.
To me, it's very funny. And then when it came out, I was like, oh, that's not those two.
All right, wow. So not a good movie, but Twins with Schwarzenegger, that was a good movie.
Yes. Also, okay. Junior is a better movie than you remember. That's Junior. The one where Arnold Schwarzenegger gets pregnant.
Oh, no. That's it can't be good.
Right. It's better
that
than you think.
It can't be good.
I mean, maybe I'm laughing at it, but it's better than you think.
That is funny.
Oh, he agrees. Yeah.
He's in. All right. I'm not saying that Kevin and Bean are not who I'd want to get my sad breaking news from.
How dare you?
But Kevin and Bean are not who I want to get my sad breaking news from. However, that's exactly what happened with Christina Applegate. And she talked about it a couple days ago on Jimmy Kimmel Live. And she brought up when she got the horrible news that her show, Married with Children, was canceled.
That show was on for, 11 seasons,
years.
Right?
Yeah, 11.
Did you have a big, finale, a series finale like these shows seem to have now?
No, man. I actually learned that we were canceled from the radio, but not, like, firsthand. Someone was listening to Kevin and Bean.
Oh, I was on that show.
Kevin, I heard.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin and Bean knew before me.
They know everything.
And they said something, and then someone I knew had heard it on Kevin and Bean and then called me to tell me that the show was canceled. So that's how they operate.
You get the bad news from Kevin and Bean?
From Kevin and Bean.
That is not what you want.
And how did Jimmy get through saying they know everything without killing himself laughing?
Also, when he says, I was on that show, in disgust, she says. In disgust, she goes, I heard.
I heard.
Yeah, not your brightest moment.
Not your best days.
I heard.
I love it. I love it all so much.
Stop it.
Okay. All right. Ed Sheeran pulling out all the stops for his upcoming album, Number 6 Collaborations Project. We already knew the big names that he had, Justin Bieber, Bruno Mars, Chance the Rapper. But yesterday, he released the official track list for the album. By the way, it comes out July 12th. And it features some more heavy hitters. Cardi B.
What is going on?
Well, I'm telling you, Cardi B, Camila Cabello, Travis Scott, Khalid, Eminem and 50 Cent.
Come on, Khalid, everybody.
Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you.
How about that?
Meek Mill and a Boogie with the Hoodie. And Skrillex. Like, what? Ed Sheeran all over the map on this. All right.
It's great. That. Sounds awesome.
I love it.
But it's so interesting because I think most people, if they were to guess who his duet partners would be, they would expect more like a Taylor Swift type person. You know, more a singer-songwriter is where we picture Ed Sheeran. But this is apparently where his love is.
A few years ago, he tweeted, one of my favorite albums ever is Bubba Sparks' Deliverance.
That's a choice.
Really?
Yeah, he's like in that hip-hop world. Yeah.
Wow.
Does that hold up, Jensen, rap correspondent?
The second one, not the first one. Ugly one, the one that everyone heard, the like hit first album, does not hold up. Second one, Deliverance does.
He's still wearing all those teeth.
Bubba Sparks?
Mm-hmm.
No, he now has lost a ton of weight.
Mm.
He looks great. He married a Miss Georgia. That made the press because okay. he's kind of like a stud now.
Oh.
So like it made a big deal. His wedding pictures, very attractive wife, and he's very attractive now. Still raps, still does shows. I saw he was playing in New Orleans recently.
Bubba okay. Sparks with a glow up.
Yeah, he definitely did glow up.
Nice.
Yeah, that's also a slang man.
Slang man. Feel yeah. free to use that in 30 years. So here's the thing. You see something trending on Twitter, like TV show, and you think, wow, a lot of people are watching that, especially when it's the top trend in the U.S. on Twitter for 7 hours as it's airing. That's what happened to the MTV Awards. But here's the thing. That doesn't really translate into ratings because here's the problem. The 2019 MTV Movie and TV Awards in the ratings department fell 46% from last year's simulcast among young adults.
That's a big number.
Average 3 million viewers across linear and social platforms, which MTV is kind of glomming onto. Like, hey, but look, we were the top trending topic and the most social show of the night. So
I'm nothing without my following.
And right. that woman was there. So, oh, that's a bummer sound. You guys, Warner Media is close to a deal that they're saying might be worth around $500 million.
What's going on?
To pay Hollywood hitmaker J.J. Abrams.
I love it!
As you can imagine with Netflix, Disney+, you want to kind of latch on to someone that can yeah. make movies for you, that has a track record like Lost, Alias, Westworld, and then you've got Star Wars The Force Awakens. He's doing the Rise of Skywalker coming up. J.J. Abrams is a guy you should be throwing all the money to.
Yeah, it sounds like they are.
Which is apparently what they're doing, yeah, worth around $500 million. Under the deal, Warner Media would reportedly get the right of first refusal for his future productions, and it's unclear if he would still be able to direct films for other studios. I'm thinking $500 million, no. I think you, at that point, own J.J. Abrams,
I like
and
that
he's just working for you.
I like that they're paying him $500 million, but still reserving the right to say, we're not going to air that.
Right.
You can take it someplace
right.
else.
He doesn't really miss a bunch.
No,
like they
no,
never,
true.
He doesn't
Absolutely
miss
not.
Yeah, even things like Fringe or Super 8, things that don't stick onto his resume, are still big money makers.
Yeah.
Crazy. You guys, dogs are lying liars who lie.
Oh, dogs are lying liars who lie.
And more lies and lies on top of lies.
You know when you are mad at your dog, they did something and they give you those puppy eyes and you immediately feel bad for everything you've done in your life?
I mean, that's pretty much the eyes that come with all dogs.
Yeah, that's true.
Well,
that is true.
No.
Oh.
Those
no.
puppy dog eyes are a product of evolution. And they were designed to manipulate us. University
By
of Portsmouth. Listen, University of Portsmouth researchers found that while modern dogs have developed small muscles around the eyes, which allows them to raise their inner eyebrows, which gives you the look.
What?
That's something new because they evolved from wolves who have nearly zero comparable muscles. Dogs have learned to do the sad eyes to manipulate us. And I say,
what if I lick my dog's butt?
Oh. I say that.
It's really
no,
odd.
It
but
just proves that dogs are the best over and over and over again because they learned through time. Like, listen, I'm going to do this and I'm going to get extra snacks.
That's
brilliant,
that's
right?
That's awesome.
I don't think
who
Bean
knew?
Believes it.
Bean, do you not believe it?
I don't know.
I mean, it's science, I'm telling you.
I mean, she is,
I don't
it is
think
science.
I
yeah.
Do, I mean, look, here's what I'll say. Mm-hmm. I do think that dogs, see, I don't really understand institutional memory. I don't understand how each dog doesn't have to learn it on its own. But it sounds like what you're saying, Allie, is as a species, mm-hmm. dogs have learned how to make a face that is effective in getting humans to do what they want to do.
Yes.
And that seems pretty far-fetched to me.
Then explain wolves.
Okay.
I mean,
right?
Explain wolves.
You have, a few minutes left in the show. Explain wolves. Go.
Explain wolves. And
it's on you. Go.
I'm sorry that I can't. So I guess I'm just going to have to accept your premise
okay.
that puppy dog eyes are fake.
They're not fake. They're learned. And I think that's even better.
I love that.
I love it so much.
So they're not lying liars who lie then. They're just manipulating us with their pretty faces.
Yeah, but they're also lying through these
Why the f*** you lying?
For these new muscles that they've gotten over time.
They are lying with our eye muscles. That's true.
Okay. Explain wolves, Kevin. Go.
Go. You have 4 minutes. Explain wolves.
Some birthdays for you. Hugh Dancy, Zoe Saldana, Paul Dano, Macklemore. Remember at 5 a.m. when I said Felicia Rashad and I said it just doesn't sound right?
Mm-hmm.
It's because it wasn't right.
What?
And all you monsters.
I've called her Felicia Rashad forever. What is her name?
Now I don't remember.
What?
Like Felicia Rashad?
What's happening?
I didn't need to add this. I could have just kept going. I apologize.
At least you haven't sullied the name of Dr. Bill Cosby.
Are you tripping balls?
Wolves, go! And Paula Abdul.
What's going on?
You have lightning in a bottle here.
Thank you.
But you're not committing to rehearsing.
Oh.
And that is a responsibility that you should all take very seriously, especially when you are as talented as every one of you.
Okay.
I want you to succeed. You have magic together.
Okay.
Commit to each other
and
show everyone how damn talented you are.
Okay. Good advice going forward.
Listen.
As long as today's show doesn't count, we'll do all of those things starting tomorrow.
I'm going to tell you, I felt like I was pronouncing it wrong, and then I got from at Big Hair, Big Care, which I kind of love because it's usually Big Hair, Don't Care. Anyway, she wrote, I think it's pronounced Felicia Rashad, which is exactly what I thought. But then you guys were like, no, we're monsters.
For a minute,
it's right.
For a minute, I thought I was right. But then Big Hair, Big Care on Twitter told me, the expert on Felicia Rashad. Now I feel
Felicia.
Stupid. Now I feel dumb.
Listen, if you go after Big Hair, Big Care, we're going to have some issues, all right?
So you're saying it's Felicia, not Felicia.
That's what I'm saying.
Bye, Felicia.
I don't care.
Oh, wow. Never have you been whiter. Never.
Bye, Felicia. No one says that. It's bye, Felicia.
But that's not how she pronounces her name.
Well, she's wrong.
She is wrong.
Listen. Yep.
She's going to have to change.
We're not on the air, right?
No. Okay. We got off minutes ago.
What's going on? Tell me about wolves. That's what's happening.
Thanks, Allie. A 5 p.m. commercial-free hour. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show on Thursdays. We have Jensen with Get Up on This.
What's going on over here, Mom?
I can't remember people's names, and now they're saying that there's a thing called face blindness, which I'm going to latch onto and make it my excuse.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have face blindness?
It's in the news, man. One of the candidates running for president says he suffers from face blindness.
Same.
And I'm going to ask you guys this question tomorrow. Should that disqualify him from being president?
I think so, yeah.
I mean, seriously, if you can't tell, if you go to the G20 and you don't know the leader of Japan from the leader of China, I think we've got a problem as a nation.
And you're kind of racist.
Or you can have assistants like she had, Meryl Streep had, on Devil Wears Prada. When she would go to events, she relied on both of her assistants.
Plus tickets for
Fluffy,
Gabriel Iglesias.
Like, she couldn't remember a name, and they'd be like...
And your tickets to the Disneyland Resort.